The following is a special local sports presentation on 92.1 WVTK. This is Middlebury Union High School football. All season long, catch every game, home and away, Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK is brought to you in part by
One Credit Union, today, tomorrow, together. 1CU.org, 7 Green Street in Virgins. Mike's Auto and Towing. If we can't fix it, it ain't broke. See them online at mikesautomid.com. That's mikesauto, M-I-D-D.com. Foster Motors, home of the we care people on Route 7 in Middlebury. Mike's Fuels, for all your home, business, and agricultural needs, Route 22A in Bridgeport. Vermont Field Sports, don't let that big one get away. We'll help you hook them or bag them, Route 7 in Middlebury. The A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified. Monument Farms of Weybridge. Join the movement and support local farms. McIntyre Services of Middlebury on Court Street and Exchange Street in Middlebury. Keeping friends warm for over 70 years. Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury. Your true value hardware store. The National Bank of Middlebury. With locations in Middlebury, Virgins, Brandon, Bristol, and Hinesburg. Online at nbmvt.com. LaBerge Insurance Agency, Washington Street in Middlebury. LaBerge equals insurance. Broughton's Big Country Hardware, home of Broughton's Farm Supply, Route 22A in Bridgeport. BigCountryHardware.com. Della Motorsports in Plattsburgh, your motorsports headquarters. Nadu's Play School South, promoting lifelong learning in a safe and caring environment, Route 7 in Ferrisburg. Countryside Carpet and Paint in Middlebury, your one-stop shop for flooring, paint, and window treatments. Stop in today and decorate the countryside way. Desabray's Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury, and with a drop-off location at Linda's Apparel in Virgins. Denneker Chevrolet, free Vermont state inspections for as long as you own your vehicle. Main Street Virgins and Route 7 Middlebury. Chevy, find new roads. Brown's Welding, steel fabrication, plus crane, forklift, and man lift rentals. Call 363-5619 or visit brownswelding.com. Autumn Gold Jewelry, they have the Earth's most beautiful gifts. Main Street in Middlebury. And J.P. Carrera & Sons Concrete, always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363.
And now, with a call of today's game, here's Bjarke Sears and Alex Inescu on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, very often when you tune into a game, what you want is a game that has meaning. A game that has impact, a game that has excitement, a game that's going to mean something as you roll on towards the playoffs. Well, tonight, we are very happy. This is Bjarke Sears along with my partner Alex Inescu on 92.1 WVTK. We are very, very happy to bring you such a game. Alex, Middlebury, Essex, going to be a great week six.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this has the potential to be one of the best matchups we've seen all season. Both these teams are pretty equal in terms of their record, the quality of their wins. Yeah, it's going to be a really great game today.
It will be. And as you say, in terms of their record, they come in looking at fourth and fifth in the QPR. The QPR, the quality point rating rankings, they are what determine where your seating is going into the playoffs. And this, we have about 3 weeks left. We do have 3 weeks left to determine where those teams are going to be. Tonight, the Middlebury Tigers come in with a record of 4-1. They have 9.2 points on the QPR index. Essex comes in at fifth, right behind Middlebury, at 3-2, 7.2. And all that's a little bit of a difference in record there. We should keep in mind, Essex has lost to two teams, but those two teams were St. Johnsbury and CVU. Two teams that have been doing pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. Those two are right at the top, and they actually went head-to-head just the other week where St. Johnsbury really dismantled Champlain Valley Union and kind of emerged as the top team in this division right now. But yeah, this is a huge game we got going on right now. For Essex, this is a chance for them to really make a statement and get that signature win and prove to everyone they're for real. One of the first times they would be considered for real in this division in quite a while. So, big game for them. For Middlebury, not trying to fall too far behind, stay at the top of the pack, keep their confidence going as we're nearing the playoffs more and more every day.
And last week, Essex got back off the schneid. They had lost two in a row, as we said, though, against two top teams. St. J coming in today as tops in the state, and CVU is ranked third. They have a tremendous defense, and they did well against Essex, but Essex bounced back last week against the Bob Whites of St. Albans. They scored 34 points in a 34-7 win, and it was a big game for Liam Coulter. You'll give us in the starting lineups later. Liam Coulter ran for 4 touchdowns, 118 yards, so a big game for him. One thing I like to do is look at head-to-head things. They beat BFA St. Albans 34-7. Middlebury, it was a close game against BFA earlier in the season, just 14-0.
Yeah, and you know, this Essex team is really dangerous when that offense gets going. For their 3 wins, all of them 34 points or above, 40, 49. And their losses are a 0-point loss against Champlain Valley Union and a game where they only put up 14 against St. Johnsbury. So it's a key for them to really get their offense going and going early.
So an important game for both teams. For the Tigers, looking to stay up with the top teams in the league. For Essex, looking to make sure that their record and their growth really turns into something good. There's a big difference in this Division I between going 3-3 at this point and being 4-2. We're going to step aside for a moment. We're going to come back with more of the pregame show. It's Pierre Castillo and Alex Nescu on 92.1 WVTK, the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Hockey season is upon us, and 4th and Goal has everything you need. Hockey gloves, shin pads, shoulder pads, pants, elbow pads, and helmets by Bauer and CCM. Hockey skates and figure skates, too. They are stocked and ready to fit the Addison County skaters. Men and women, boys and girls from head to toe. 4th and Goal, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. Everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond. 4th and Goal Sports.
When making home improvements, consider your options carefully.
Excuse me? Hello? I'm looking for bathroom tile.
Hi.
Oh, finally. I'm looking for bathroom tile.
Well, you're in the plumbing department, so...
So you can't help me?
No.
Countryside Carpet and Paint is your hometown experts in paint, flooring, tile, and hardwood. Their advice is genuine, and they truly care about how your project comes together. Countryside Carpet and Paint in Middlebury.
Decorate the countryside away. You're sure to drive in style. Mile after mile when you join the team. Team Deniker.
It's Tom Deniker. Sometimes luck isn't always on your side. Maybe you're recently divorced, lost your job, had an illness in the family, lost your home, declared bankruptcy, or had a vehicle repossessed. In other words, you have really poor credit or no credit. Well, my friends, your luck is about to change. You need a vehicle. No problem. Here's how you get 100% guaranteed credit approval at Deniker Chevrolet. Visit us at Deniker Chevrolet, ask for Brett or David, and ask about 100% guaranteed credit approval. You can come in today and drive out in a vehicle today. We make Deniker deals, and we make you smile. At Deniker Chevrolet, we make it happen. Visit us at Route 7 South in Middlebury, at Deniker Virgens, or DenikerChevrolet.com.
Deniker Chevrolet.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera & Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Well, it may be warm out tonight, but everything else is speaking of fall. We've got leaves changing. We've got the smoke from barbecues going on down below us here. We're very happy to be bringing you the game from Essex. And very happy to be joined in the box by my partner, Alex Nescu, here on 92.1 WVTK. And Alex, a question about last week, the South Burlington win by the Tigers. Did we learn anything from that last week that they could build on going forward?
I think we learned a lot about South Burlington and where they're at right now. I don't know if there's too many major takeaways you can take, at least on our side. You know, we're going up against an inferior team. For a large portion of that game, we really didn't have the starters in. We learned a lot about the depth of this team, though, with Sheldrick having a great game. Davio had some big plays. So we learned about some guys we might see a little more going forward. I'm going to be interested to see who the coaching staff puts out there and gives a shot after such great performances from everyone on both sides of the ball the other day.
Yeah, you know, that was an opportunity for a lot of people to get involved. But I think tonight's going to have to be a night where your big guns come to play. I think Andrew Gleason's going to be, you know, he's had some up games and some down games. I think at quarterback, he's going to need to have a really good up game. Even if he's not gaining a tremendous amount of yards, I think he could, play a safe game in the sense of making good reads on the quarterback option and, you know, give it off to the running backs, making good reads on those rollouts. There's sometimes where he rolls out, he has a tendency to kind of see his man and chuck it long. And there's been times that's been very successful. There's also been times where he's thrown into coverage. So I think Andrew's going to have to stay calm tonight and really rely on it being a full game and not to win it all at once. And I think Doug DiLorenzo on both sides of the ball is going to be important. He is accounting for most of the Tigers' catches this year. He's caught 5 touchdowns, which is really an unusual number for any Tiger to catch that many, even in a whole season. But especially defensively, he's been doing a lot, hasn't he, on the defensive end and the punt, you know, special teams opportunities.
Yeah, always getting after the kicker. It seems every single time he's coming down, we're seeing him right there in the guy's face, making him change the way they kick it, getting through his blocks right away. He's been an impact on both sides of the ball every single night. I look to him to keep doing what he's been doing. There's really been no one that's been able to contain him on either side of the football. So I would have to agree with you with what you said about Gleason, that he needs to stay calm in there tonight. He needs to be patient. I think we're starting to learn what this Tiger team does best, and their best football is when they're patient and they trust in their offense. And there's so many different ways they can run the ball, so many different reads they can give you. So patience is definitely key for this team going forward throughout this one.
Absolutely. And a couple other people we'll certainly be looking for on offense will be Spencer Carpenter, Trey Kaufman. Spencer doing a great job. He was our J.P. Carrera player of the game last week, really being effective all season long. And on defense, some names we've been calling out a lot, including Tyler Hutzman having an outstanding year from his position. And last week, it was interesting. Skylar Devlin really started popping off playing defensive end. We haven't seen him as much getting kind of involved in the flow of the play, but that was one name I found myself. You know, I kind of keep track of the names I end up saying more often. And that was the one that popped out to me. So for the Tigers, I think those, you know, the kind of big names there are really going to be the ones that have to really come to play. The line's usually pretty consistent on the offensive line. Defensive line, pretty consistent. Those skill position players are going to have to make it happen.
Yeah, I would say the key is limit the mistakes, you know. Gleason back there, no fumbles, no interceptions, no dangerous throws. We've had a few times this season where there's been miscommunications on the handoff, and we've seen him drop where kind of both guys were responsible for the fumble. So if we can limit that, this game needs to be played tight. It needs to be a clean game by them.
Yeah, and I think for a couple reasons. You know, number one, really important to have a victory here, as we talked about. This is a pretty big swing game, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes. But also, you really want to be gearing up for the playoffs. You want to be in good shape. We're only 2 games away. Next game is not going to be one necessarily that you're going to get a good read. It's going to be Rice. The Green Knights right now are 1-4 and not necessarily the best read. The CVU Redhawks, however, who the Tigers will be playing the last game of the season, that's going to be quite a matchup to get ready for the postseason. But you'd like to do that right about now and really get started for that.
Yeah, I think CVU at the end of their schedule, it's good to see where you're at going into the playoffs, and that's a great measuring stick for both those teams. There's a lot of questions on that CVU side right now after that thrashing they got against St. Johnsbury. You got to think that they're questioning themselves going forward a little bit here.
And you wonder with that one, to talk about the game for a second, is it that CVU got thrashed, or is St. Johnsbury simply that much better than everyone else? And that's going to be a fascinating thing to see as we go along and we go forward. And we're going to step aside for a moment. We'll be back with a little more pregame here and the starting lineups as we tick along towards tickoff. You're listening to High School Football on 92.1 WVTK, the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Is your car in need of repair? Do you need a tow or maybe just general maintenance? I'm Mike McGrath from Mike's Auto. Here at Mike's, we do it all. We tow cars, we fix cars, we sell cars. We have storage and U-Haul. We have master ASC certified techs, and we guarantee all of our work. So if your car or truck vibrates, rattles, whines, knocks, or just plain leaks, give us a call or hit us online at mikesautomid.com. You can even like us on Facebook. And remember, if we can't fix it, it ain't broke.
Hi, this is Adam at Broughton's Big Country Hardware in Bridport. With the biggest selection of Cub Cadet power equipment in the area, at Broughton's we carry the Cub Cadet models they won't show you at the big box store. Cub Cadet tractors, Cub Cadet zero turns, snow throwers. The Cub Cadet deals are on. Late season discounts, early bird specials, and with a parts, service, and warranty team, deal with the experts. Cub Cadet headquarters, hardware with a twist. Broughton's Big Country Hardware. It's the best time to buy a Cub Cadet. It's time to cut a deal at Broughton's, Route 22A, Bridport.
Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. LaBerge equals insurance.
Monument Farms in Weybridge is 100% authentic and part of Vermont's heritage. They literally do it all, from growing their own corn, raising the cows, feeding and milking them, then processing and distributing the milk. You can find their great local products in many area stores if you live locally. Please stop by their popular dairy store Monday through Fridays. Monument Farms, landmark quality from the heart of Vermont in Weybridge.
Brown's Lift Rental and Crane Service, in business for over 40 years. Brown's has four cranes, 14 to 70 ton capacity, with OSHA certified operators and riggers. 40, 60, and 80 foot man lifts. Telehandler lifts, 6 to 10,000 pound capacity, with or without operator. Two new mini excavators, 6 and 12,000 pounds, have been added to the fleet.
Give my Papa Craigie and his breakthrough a call. Brown's Lift Rental and Crane Service.
453-3351. That's 453-3351.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
The sky has turned pink. The bands are playing. The Tigers have come out on the field with their road whites, doing a little crisscross and warming up their bodies there to get ready for week six. You're going to be listening to the Middlebury Tigers take on the Essex Hornets up here at Essex Junction, Vermont. And a beautiful night for football. You know, it's one thing we've been talking about. What a season it's been for the weather.
Well, let's not jinx it here. We got a few more games left. But, yeah, it's been gorgeous. You know, we've had these sunset every time the game's starting. And you can kind of see how the season is moving along, too. The actual season, one of the four seasons, how it's moving along, how every single night it's just a little darker before we get going. So it's the season's rolling along here.
You know, and just thinking about it, that's going to present an interesting situation if we get into a Friday night further along and something changes. Particularly, you know, I can imagine if, you know, first week of the playoffs, all of a sudden it's a downpour at 5 o'clock and it keeps on. You know, they play those games as long as there isn't lightning. And you'd have to assume both teams wouldn't be any more prepared for it than the other. Some teams it benefits. Usually it's to the Tigers' benefit, you know, and their double wing setup, usually running it a lot. That's the kind of game, get down to the trenches, that they usually enjoy. A lot of teams do that, as long as they don't end up, you know, a spread team would have more trouble. But that'd just be interesting to see as we go along. Yeah. Certainly it'll get colder no matter what.
Of course, the bruiser teams like the Tigers, who like to run the ball and get a lot of push at the line, favors them for sure. So, you know, you don't hope for that weather. I certainly don't hope it for our sake, but it could happen.
Well, at least this weekend we're undercover here. We're up in the press box up in Essex. Last weekend worked out great. We were out in the open in South Burlington, and although it looked a little dodgy in the first quarter, it ended up turning out great. So.
Yeah, we were a little scared there through the first half.
It was interesting, to say the least, but it's going to be a great night tonight. Great. One of the best places in the entire state to call a game, so we are certainly excited. And so we talked about the Tigers a little bit there, the first going in Essex, and talking about how where they are in the standings. I'd like to just build on that a little bit for our guests at home as we think about it. Again, I was telling people right at the beginning of the outset, and I know many of you weren't here maybe when we first got on, about the QPR standings. That means the quality point rankings. And that's basically a collection of numbers that then all get added up that determine the what the order is. When you only play eight regular season games, it's pretty easy to have similar records. And they need some way to figure it out. So it's got things where you get a certain number of points based on whether you're away, whether you beat a Division I team, Division II, or Division III. And then what makes it confusing, Alex, and I was looking at it today because I was trying to project for the future, I realized I couldn't do it very well. The reason is, then it takes into account all your common opponents, or all your opponents, and what their win-loss record was. In other words, every week the QPR swings a little bit, depending on what even your former opponents do that week. Now, one thing that's hurt the Tigers come in tonight 4-1, the same record as CVU, but they're a full point and then some behind CVU. That's because Middlebury, and this is an important thing to note if people haven't been paying attention, Middlebury has not played, I want to double check this, yes, they have not played an above 500 team all year.
That's really surprising.
It is, and they are playing one tonight against Essex. This will be the first one, and, you know, that's going to be telling to see how they do as they go forward. You know, those things do matter.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they played a lot of the same teams, though, too. If you look at their schedule, the three wins that Essex has had is against the same teams that Middlebury played. Mm-hmm. And they've beaten all those teams by wider margins than Middlebury, too. So there's a lot of statistically things that make you think that this Essex team might be a serious foe tonight, and we're in for a good game.
Yeah, it certainly sets up to be one. You know, looking at, again, going back to those standards, standings just so people know, St. Johnsbury is first at 5-0. Hartford's 4-0. They played a game out of state, which they lost, but that does not affect them in the QPR. CVU standing a third at 4-1. Middlebury is 4-1, but again, they're behind CVU. Essex is 3-2, but after that, it's a big drop-off. You've got Brattleboro at 6, Rutland at 7, Colchester at 8. That's important to note because Middlebury got handled by the Brattleboro Colonels, who sit at 6 and below 500.
Yeah, they definitely did. In the second half, they kind of ran off of that game. I think Brattleboro's a team that you really don't know what you're getting. If Chechikese has a big game, well, then that team's having a big game. But you can never bank on that. You can never bank on one guy in this league. You need a variety of guys that can work for you.
That's true. And so tonight makes it even bigger to understand where the Tigers are coming from. As we get towards the beginning, let's have a rundown, if we could, Alex, of our starters. Now, just to let people know, Alex was not given starters for Essex tonight. So what we've done is asked our friends here in the press box to give us the main names that we'll hear on the Essex offense, and then Alex, you can give them the defense for the Tigers.
We do. We got a variety of backs. They clearly have a bunch of different backs they run with. Anthony Hope. They also have Tyler Roberge, Hunter Smith, and Jordan Hines. Four different backs we'll be seeing tonight. Their quarterback is Nick Fant. The wide receiver is Otis Kroc. Excuse me,
Nick Otis Fant. Kroc will be the quarterback.
Nick Fant is the backup quarterback, and he's also one of the wide receivers, along with also Anthony Hope, who will be playing a little bit of that position as well. We also have the tight end Alex Rivenov. And for the Middlebury defense, we have Skylar Devlin out on the outside with Doug DiLorenzo on the other. Our defensive line will be made up of Maverick Payne, Tyler Hutt, and Pat Messenger. Our linebackers tonight will be Spencer Carpenter and Trey Kaufman. The corners, Simon Fisher and Cody Pominville. And our safeties, as always, is Andrew Gleason and Lane Sheldrick.
And so right now they are calling out the seniors onto the field. This is senior night here in St. Albans. People are aware that the last regular season night, really in any sport in Vermont, that is then senior night. So you honor the seniors as they come out of the field. Alex, that explains, I think, the blue on our starting lineups.
Why they're
in the
DC. We're having a little controversy.
We were wondering what that was.
We didn't know if it was the starters, but they got a mess of them. You look at this roster, and about half these names are blue. So they got a lot of guys, a lot of older guys on this team.
They do.
Experience counts. It definitely does.
Definitely counts. It'll be interesting to see. You know, they've been building over the years. They've really been building to this. Even though they're 3-2, if they play this right, if they win tonight and they go forward, their next two games, Brattleboro, South Burlington, those are winnable games.
Oh, yeah.
They could then be walking in 6-2. So tonight for Essex, as much as it's big for Middlebury, it's just as big, maybe more, for the Essex Hornets.
Oh, yeah. For how many questions we have about Middlebury, I think there's more questions about Essex and where they are, with two of their losses being against probably the two best teams in the division. So you really don't know where this team is at all, thrashing other opponents. So it's going to be curious to see where they're at. I think we'll have a pretty good idea of both teams by the time this game is over.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great game, and I know we're excited for it for sure. Fans are here. They're all pumped up. You got tons of, you know, Essex, one of the biggest high schools in the state, along with Champlain Valley. So it's going to always have a great, great crew out here on hand as they all salute their seniors. And we're ticking away here. We've got about 3 minutes until the beginning of game time here. Oh, they've extended it a little bit, 5:27.
Oh,
so we're going to talk for a second, if we could, a little bit about some of the other games around the league so people could be prepared for what else is going to happen this weekend. We like to point that out. Some interesting games. Not a lot that pops out as being huge games. Brattleboro, Rutland a little bit. That, to me, is a little more how does the bottom end of Division I line up. Mount Anthony at Hartford. One has to assume Hartford is going to walk on Mount Anthony. That would make Hartford 5-0. You know, it's really going to be Hartford and St. Jay battling for that top point in the league. St. Johnsbury at Rice tomorrow. One would have to assume the Hilltoppers travel well for that. Colchester at CVU. That's going to be an interesting one. CVU, as you pointed out, had 2 weeks of shutting out and then had a lot of points. So we'll see what happens with that one.
Yep, it'll be interesting to see what their mind state is coming into that game after being so defensively dominant through their first four, giving up only 9 points in the entire first four games, and then they drop a whopping 54. So... yeah, you don't know where they're going to be at.
Sure, so they'll get tested a little bit. And probably for them, that's a pretty important game, as we talked about, you know, heading into the playoffs and kind of figuring out where you are. So certainly some interesting games there for local interest. Fairhaven will be playing against Mount Mansfield Cougars, and Mount Abraham will be at Burn Burton. Burn Burton, for those who follow, are some of the most exciting team in the state. Griff Scout, Stalcup, and everybody else there throwing the ball around. I have to admit, every year I wish Middlebury could play Burn Burton. Just from the fans' perspective, I think it would be a lot of fun. So I'll pay attention to those games. We'll see what happens. It's always interesting. Certainly we learned a lot last weekend and week six. Now things really, really start to happen. And really things start getting ginned up along the way.
It's getting spicy.
It is, absolutely. A couple other observations we could about the starting lineups here. Lane Sheldrick continues in at right halfback. We've seen a little bit of change in that position in the last few weeks, haven't we?
Yes, we have. We've seen it bump around. They've been trying out a few couple guys. You might think it's a testament to the opponents they played in the last couple weeks that they have the confidence to try guys out. I'll be curious to see if they play them in such a major game like tonight.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Pearson Beatty was the right halfback early on in the season.
For the first few games.
And then Dustin Davio got some run there. Yep. And he still gets in. They still get in a little bit. Lane Sheldrick came in last week and did some work. So it'll be interesting to see. I also think, you know, at the same time, we've also seen Lane Sheldrick, I feel, show up more and more on the defensive side. So whether he's becoming more confident, it's all kind of mixing together. Hey, how you doing, Austin? Kind of moving forward and getting better and better as the year goes on. Certainly that's something you like to see. And he's only a junior, right?
Yeah.
So you build towards the future.
Well, you don't think it's just going to be Sheldrick out there tonight. They're going to give all those guys looks at the position. Sure. They really like to mix it up. I think it's just a testament to how deep they are at that position at the halfback. So we'll see how it goes for them tonight.
Absolutely. And here we are as we tick down. It's about 2 minutes till start time here in Essex Junction. It's week six of the season, as we said. Middlebury Tigers taking on the Essex Hornets. And Essex wearing blue and gold and gold helmets here. Certainly a nice looking outfit for them.
Very Notre Dame-esque.
Very Notre Dame-esque. We'll step aside for a few moments. We'll be back for kickoff here at 92.1 WVTK, the One Credit Union Radio Network.
McIntyre Services in Middlebury has been serving Addison County residents for over 70 years, and the season is changing, and it's time now to think about heating oil. McIntyre Services has the fuel to keep you warm and burner service to keep that furnace running efficiently all winter long. McIntyre Services is also your local Sunoco dealer, and you can save big with the Sunoco Rewards Card. How does 5 cents off every single gallon at the pump sound? Start saving money now at their two locations, Exchange Street, Middlebury, and on Court Street, Middlebury. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for over 70 years.
Hi, this is Paul at Vermont Field Sports in Middlebury. We carry a full line of compound bows, recurve bows, and crossbows from Parker, Bear Archery, PSE, 10 Point, Barnett, and Excalibur. So come on into the shop and take advantage of our superior customer service to tune up your bow and get dialed in for what's shaping up to be a great deer season. Remember, always hunt smart and hunt safe.
Come into Foster Motors on Route 7 in Middlebury this month for Ram Power Days and the Jeep Celebration event. Foster Motors is celebrating with a big open house. Saturday, October 15th from 9 to 4 p.m., there'll be a barbecue from Route 7 Smokehouse, refreshments, and live music on the lot by Barbie and Bones. Come ride and drive the all-new Chrysler Pacifica minivan. Jeep owners, bring your Jeeps to show them off. Saturday, October 15th from 9 to 4 p.m. Foster Motors, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram on Route 7 in Middlebury. And remember, at Foster Motors...
This is Tiger Football on Addison County's WVTK, Fort Henry, Bridport, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. Now back to the field for more Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Let's kill us back.
And here we go. It's time for kickoff here at 92.1 WVTK, week six of the season up in Essex Junction. Listen to the Middlebury Tigers take on the Essex Hornets. Tigers coming in with a record of 4-1. Hornets coming in with a record of 3-2. But as we've said before, a 3-2 record where they have lost to two very tough teams. So it'll be interesting to see. Huge game tonight for both teams, my friends. Just because it starts out a certain way, I think we can safely say, does not mean it'll end that way. So let's stick around and hang out through this one. There's going to be no blowouts tonight. It's going to be tooth and nail, tooth and claw tonight for the Middlebury Tigers.
And early on, too, you got to expect both teams to come out trying to kind of dog it out early. Every possession counts. And here we got Middlebury electing to kick it, as always.
As always, they like to take it in the second half. And we've seen that have good impact for them over the weeks. And when it's close, they often have had a chance to come out and kind of with that first drive of the second half, really kind of flip the script a little bit and put pressure on their opponents.
Well, in a tight game like this, it could really have a major effect on the outcome.
The Hornets going from right to left on your radio dial. Tigers are kicking from left to right. It's Jacob Buckerman setting up at the 40. And he's going to kick off to returners standing at about the 10-yard line. It's kind of a short kick. It's going over to the right side. They're going to let it go out of bounds. And so it's going to be good field position here for the Essex Hornets as they start. It's early in the first quarter here. And so here come the Tide. Here come the Hornets out onto the field. They're going to be led by quarterback senior Otis Crock. He's going to have Nick Fant running with him. He's going to have particularly Liam Coulter in at fullback. Liam had four touchdowns last week and 118 yards. So you can find your roster, young man.
There we go.
All right, so the Hornets are over looking at the sideline. They are going to be set up on the 35 of their own end of the field. The sun has gone down. It's getting dark. It is Friday night lights. Even though it feels like the summertime, it's the middle of the fall here. And Crock under center. He's going to hand it off to Tyler Roberge, cutting up the middle. Not for much, though, as he first goes up. It's going to be a gain of about two on the run on the left side for Tyler Roberge. Andrew Gleason on a tackle there for the Tigers. Gleason, although we hear so much about him as a quarterback, does a nice job in there playing at defensive back.
Oh, he absolutely does. He makes a lot of plays. And, you know, maybe that speaks to his quarterback mind that he's able to assess the game so well. And he does great in live action.
And it is Crock under center with three running backs. This time it's a handoff up the middle to the fullback. He plows forward for about three. Nothing fancy there. Gain of three from Liam Coulter. It is going to be third down and about five. They are set up on the 40, on their own 40-yard line. 11 minutes left to go in the first quarter. 0-0. Essex Hornets, Middlebury Tigers. Essex looking to do something with this first drive. They've got Crock under center, three running backs in position. And Crock rolls back. He hands it to the running back coming from left to right. Brought down with a arm bar there. That was Jordan Hines running over that side. He was brought down by a linebacker right in the middle of the field. It is going to be fourth down and three. They're going to have to bring the punting unit out on the field.
That was all the Tigers' line there, being able to get more push. They never really got an opportunity to get anything going on any of those run plays at all.
And Essex really tried the middle of the Tigers' line each time there in that first drive, but they're going to be giving over the Tigers. They've got Gleason and Pominville waiting back at about the 20. And the punt has been, well, what happened? They got snapped. The snap came in low, and the punter just kind of ended up with it. It was Gleason. Sorry, it was not Gleason. It was DiLorenzo and Skylar Devlin in there to cover the ball up. And right now the Tigers are going to have excellent field position to start the game, starting at about the 31 of the Hornets. Huge play there for the Tiger special teams.
Well, just how I said the Tigers can't be making mistakes, neither can Essex, and that was a huge one right there, turning the ball over, what, on the 30-yard line. They got a great field position to get something going early and get some points on the board.
Yeah, and certainly it's not terrible to have a three and out on your first drive, but then you can't make that kind of mistake.
Oh, absolutely not.
Gleason under center. He has one wide receiver off to the left, three running back. Gleason has it. He heads it to Kaufman coming from left to the right. He tries to charge forward. He does. He strips out some hands, and he gets forward. Nice gain there of about six by Trey Kaufman. Powerful running for the young man.
I look to Trey Kaufman to have a huge game today. He's always the aggressor. I feel like he's the guy that brings that aggressive mentality to this Tigers team on both sides of the ball. He's a player.
Yeah, and that set a nice tone there. It looked like he was going to be wrapped up for no gain. He kind of swung around, was able to keep his feet, and was able to plow forward for a gain of six. And it's Gleason under center. He goes back. He's keeping himself over on the left side. Finds a hole by the guard. Keeps going. Sheds a tackle. Gets out. That's a gain of about eight there for Andrew Gleason.
Thought he was going to go down, and he just kept running with it. He was able to break a couple guys, carry one a little bit further, and make that into a pretty sizable game.
Yeah, he ended up actually being a gain of about 10.
I like the play call so far. They're not doing anything too fancy. They don't want to mess up this great field position like we saw them in their last couple games blow it inside the red zone.
Tigers with one wide receiver over to the right, three running backs to the double wing. Gleason goes back. This time he hands it to man coming straight up the middle, trying to power forward. That was number 30, Lane Sheldrick, picking up a few yards there on that first down carry.
Tigers football is brought to you by Autumn's Gold Jewelry, featuring the Earth's most beautiful gifts, Main Street, Middlebury, and autumnsgoldjewelry.com.
And that was a gain of 4 for Sheldrick. It is going to be second down and about 5 on the 9-yard line of the Essex Hornets. Tigers 0-0 with the Hornets with 9 minutes left to go in the first quarter. It's Gleason under center. He's got a running back covering from left to right. Gleason drops back. There's a flag out on the field. My guess it's going to be movement against the Tigers.
Yeah, and you hate to see that. Even this close to the end zone, that's a drive killer. It can really put you far back, and it's not easy to make up those yards once you lost them.
No, we talk about, you know, if you can make a team make enough plays, eventually they will make a mistake. Tigers, generally not a team that makes a lot of mistakes, not a lot of penalties or turnovers. This year's been a little bit of an exception. I think it's been a little bit of an undisciplined year compared. I think the coaches would acknowledge that. The players probably would, too. Certainly that's something they're going to want to tighten up as they get to the playoffs. One wide receiver off to the right. It's Carl Kaufman. Three running backs in position with Gleason. Gleason go back, headed to Spencer Carpenter, drives it over to that right side, trying to burrow his way through in a hole between the guard and the tackle. He's going to take it down to about the 10-yard line. So back to that original line of scrimmage before the penalty. Certainly Spencer, it's really, we know when he takes the ball, he gets shot out of a cannon, doesn't he?
He really does, and it's a smart way to play, too. Once you get your feet moving, it's harder to stop you.
Tigers with Carl Kaufman over on one side. It's Gleason as he holds it onto himself over the left side. He flips it out, and it's down on the ground. Shelter dropped it. It gets scooped up by a Hornet. He's accelerating. He's got Tigers behind him. They're trying to catch him, and they may not. 40, 30, 20, 10. He's going in for a touchdown. That ball was left on the ground. Jordan Hines picked it up, and he scampered. That was a 90-yard fumble recovery touchdown for Jordan Hines.
And he was getting gained on, but he wasn't able to make the playoff. He seemed like he was able to kick into another gear, and that was a long run. You know, where was that fumble? Around the 10-yard line? That was a lot of ground he had to make up there.
And he was able to accelerate. He had people, you know, I didn't want to say he's going to be gone because he had people right behind him. You don't want to make that call prematurely for the folks at home. He really, it got a little wider, a little wider, a little wider. He never stretched it out, but he was able to maintain it. He got all the way in, and for the Tigers, boy, what a swing. What a swing for both teams here. 7:47 left in the first quarter.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone here could say they predicted that one.
The snap is good. The kick is
good.
Good. And it's 7-0. Essex Hornets over the Middlebury Tigers on 92.1 WVTK, the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Desiree Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. Our dry cleaning department is open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 to 3 on Saturday for all your dry cleaning needs. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk grade dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Use our drop-off locations at Linda's Apparel in Vergennes and the Enchanted Closet in Bristol. Desabray on Exchange Street in Middlebury.
Hockey season is upon us, and 4th and Goal has everything you need. Hockey gloves, shin pads, shoulder pads, pants, elbow pads, and helmets by Bauer and CCM. Hockey skates and figure skates, too. They are stocked and ready to fit the Addison County skaters. Men and women, boys and girls from head to toe. 4th and Goal, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. Everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond. 4th and Goal Sports.
Now back to Tiger football on 92.1. WVTK.
And after the 90-yard fumble recovery touchdown by Jordan Hines, the Middlebury Tigers did just receive the kickoff, and Trey Coffin was able to bring it up to the 30, and that is where the Middlebury Tigers will begin their second drive of the night. What was looking great for the Tigers just about 2 minutes ago in real time now looks very different, down by a score of 0-7. Trailing by 7 to the Essex Hornets with 7:41 left to go in the first quarter. The Tigers are set up on their own 30 with Gleason under center, one tight end up on the left, one tight up standing on the right, and it looks like we're going to have a timeout call here on the field.
You know, we were talking right before that play happened, that huge fumble to touchdown recovery, how the Tigers don't make mistakes. And yes, they don't make mistakes in terms of penalties, but too many times this season we've seen inside the red zone, interception, poorly thrown ball, trying to force the touchdown. You know, once you get in there, take the points, you know. They didn't need to try and do some shovel pass off to the side to maybe pick up, what, a couple more yards? He wasn't going to get to the end zone. So you gotta think like that. You got to think long term that all points matter in this game. You really can't be forcing things.
Hey, you know, it's interesting you talk about experience. I don't know that I've seen them actually do that pitch out to Lane Sheldrick before.
No.
And you got to try things. I'm not saying new things aren't going to happen, but that was kind of experience of, okay, maybe their timing wasn't exactly where they wanted. Lane maybe not have a lot of experience with that pitch out. And he put it on the ground. And then, you know, to some degree, Jordan Hines got a little bit lucky. He tried to play it standing up. You know, and it's very possible if sometimes you stay standing up, you can't bring that ball up, and
very
you just
true.
Kind of flop over. His ability to pick that up and then accelerate was really remarkable. The young man really made that play happen. It's Gleason under center, first and 10 for the Tigers. He pitches off to Kaufman, who's coming from left to right, tries to find a hole and is unable to. He's absolutely stuffed at the line by, I thought that was 52, but I don't see that on my roster.
Middlebury's Tigers football is brought to you by J.P. Carrera and Sons Concrete, always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363.
All right. By the mysterious number 52, who is that helmeted man out there? We do not have him on our roster, but that was a nice tackle. And it's second and 10 for the Tigers. Gleason goes back, bumps into his fullback, and then tries to run himself. That was just a discombobulated play. Andrew is able maybe to gain a yard on that, but really nothing happening there for Andrew Gleason. It is going to be 3rd and 9 from the Tigers' 31-yard line. 6:51 left to go in the first quarter. The Tigers trailing the Hornets. Hornets have 7, Tigers have none. Tigers with a big 3rd and 9 here, looking over to the sideline, seeing what the call's going to be in from Coach Dennis Smith. And Gleason goes down under center. He's got one tight end standing on the left. He's got 3 receivers, Lane Sheldrick and movement from left to the right. And it's Gleason rolling back, looking downfield. And he does look downfield, overthrowing everyone. It's going to be the Tigers punting it away here to the Hornets.
Dangerous throw there, really, to no one out there. And a lot of those Essex defenders were hanging around that area. Scary throw. Like I said, they really got to keep patient. They can't be forcing it. It's still early in this game. One touchdown, you got a lot of time to make it up. Just play your game.
That was, by a lot of people, would define triple coverage on the receiver there. So Gleason, I think, lucky. Maybe an intentional decision there to put in a place where it would be safe, but he did get away with one there in a sense. And it is Doug DiLorenzo in to punt it away. He's going to be punting from about the 19. And there he goes. Nice-looking punt there as it goes down. It's getting called for a fair catch at the 40. And the Essex Hornets looking to tack on to their lead, taking over at the 40-yard line.
Tigers football is brought to you by 4th and Goal, everything than the rink, court, field, and diamond, Main Street in Middlebury, and One Credit Union, your locally owned credit union, One Credit Union, Green Street in Vergennes.
So if you were to tune in right now and you hear that the Essex Hornets are leading by a score of 7-0, you wouldn't guess how it happened. Hornets have had the ball once so far this game. They went 3 and out. They actually messed up the punt. The Tigers got an outstanding field position, but then it was a fumble that got picked up by the Hornets. They went 90 yards for a touchdown. So the Hornets are looking to make something happen here on offense. And it's a plowed up the middle there by the fullback. Nothing fancy, just going straight into the gut of the line. And to be fair to the fullback, that was a 6-yard gain there by Liam Coulter.
Yeah, one of the bigger gains they've had so far. And one thing the Tigers can be happy about so far is they haven't given up too many major plays on offense. The defense has looked good up until this point.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, it's a 3-and-out before, so the Tigers could feel good about that. But right now, you let a 6-yard run on that first down, and you do wonder about that. So it is Kroc under center. He's got 2 running backs. He flips it over left side. Excellent pursuit there from Skylar Devlin. You know, I had mentioned how Skylar's been popping up out of the field more and more and more as we go. Held that to a 3-yard loss on that run, as it was Jordan Hines trying to bring it from right to left.
Skylar's great because he's got speed. You know, he was able to get right back there where other guys would maybe allow him to turn the corner. Skylar was on him before he could even make a play back there.
Yeah, I'd say Skylar's really coming to his own, the junior is here in this later part of the season. And Scott going back. He's handing it off to the running back, working over to the right side by the tackle. It's Tyler Roberge. Juking a little bit there. Gets about 4 yards back. It is going to be 4th down and about 4 here from the 46 of the Hornets.
Slowly drifting away from you over here, trying to get a view of this right now.
That's all right. As long as it's not, you know, as long as it's not personal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, it is.
All right. And it is 4th and 4 here for the Hornets. They are going to be punting away for the Tigers. We have Gleason and Pominville waiting at about the 18-yard line. This punt works much better for the Hornets than the last one did. Tigers are just going to let it bounce. It's going to take not much of a bounce at all. Actually, it's going to settle down at the 27 of the Tigers. That's where they're going to take over for their third drive of the game.
Tigers football is brought to you by Foster's Motors, home of the We Care People, Route 7 in Middlebury.
Tigers setting up at their own 27-yard line. With 4:27 left to go in the first quarter, the Middlebury Tigers are trailing the Essex Hornets by a score of 7-0. Here comes Gleason up under center. He has four wide receivers in this case and one running back. It's Carpenter, and Carpenter keeps it, plowing up the middle for a nice little gain. Nothing fancy there, Spencer Carpenter style. About 4 yards on the first down run for the senior.
I'd like to see a healthy dose of Spencer Carpenter on this drive. He's a really consistent guy for them. You know, it's very rare that Spencer Carpenter gets stopped for a minimal gain. He's always going to get you a decent one. If you keep plugging with that long enough, you're going to have a pretty solid drive on your hands.
2nd and 6 for the Tigers from their own 31. And they go. Gleason keeps it himself and gets brought down in the backfield. Looks like he was going to go to Carpenter. Nope, I take that back. They did go to Carpenter. I take that back. They fooled me, and they fooled the defender who brought Andrew down in the backfield. That was a gain of about 3 there for Spencer. So that is going to be bring up about 3rd and 1 for the Tigers. Gleason takes the snap, plows forward for a gain of about 2 yards. Tigers are going to have the first down. We've seen Andrew do that play a lot so far this year.
And we've seen it work for him a lot, too. You know, it's a great play. You know, just pick up the first down at the end of the day. That's what you're only trying to do.
Sometimes I feel like at some point it's going to catch up to their call. It seems like a lot of movement when it's all started. Things haven't quite settled for the Tigers. Maybe they feel like they're doing it right on the exact time. It is 1st and 10 for the Tigers from their own 39-yard line. Gleason's got four wide receivers. Carpenter has the one fullback, and Carpenter's keeping it himself, trying to test that left side, plowing forward, working as best he can, not gaining much. It's going to be a gain of 1 yard for Spencer Carpenter.
You know, it looks like this game is going to be won at that line. It looks like on every single play so far, it's really been the point of contact other than those couple throwing plays we saw. But the whole battle's been played right in there.
Yeah, and the runners, you know, they have to kind of watch and see what holes develop as they move along. And certainly one of the people that ends up going more laterally and then testing that line is Trey Kaufman. He's tended to kind of bang it up early too, so must feel there's some holes being developed. And here is Kaufman trying to bang it up early and gets absolutely tripped up there in the middle. It's the mysterious masked man, number 52. Again, not on our thing. We're going to see if we can get that number from one of our other callers here. Does a nice job coming up and knocking Trey down for a gain of maybe 1. It's going to be about 3rd and 8 for the Tigers from the 42. And here comes Gleason. He's got one wide receiver, 3 running backs, and he drops back. He's going to hand it from Shelburne, covering right and left, and absolutely smothered again by the Essex Hornets. No doing on that. Tigers are going to have to punt it away with 2 minutes left to go in the first quarter, trailing by 7 points.
We got a flag on the field right now, too, that was kind of thrown mid-play, so it's kind of hard to tell who exactly that was on.
And either way, no matter how this works out right now, it is going to be against the Hornets of Essex. We'll see how much of a flag it is. Essex got a sideline penalty,
huh? Well, that's a new one for us.
There you go. Hey, you got to be creative here. Maybe they did something.
This job keeps you on your toes.
Yes, it does. However, I think they are going to decline that. Tigers are just going to punt it away here. So, 4th and 7. Here comes DiLorenzo, ready to punt downfield. The returners are waiting at the 25-yard line. It's high, but Doug's tall. He can bring it in. Nice-looking punt there. Returners come in. It's going to be a fair catch. He should not have called a fair catch. Returner came up at the 34, had a lot of green on that left side of the field. I think he could have at least gained 5 or 7 or 10 if he'd been able to take that. But maybe you play it safe, you live for another day, And the Hornets are going to take over with 1:46 left to go in the first quarter, leading by a score of 7-0.
Yeah, sometimes when that ball goes so high, you can't really see what's going on around you, and you're kind of just looking up towards the sky, so you didn't really see the space in front of them. Luckily, they're getting the ball in a pretty good field position right
and
now.
And when you're getting good field position, you're up 7-0. Your coach is probably happy to play a little conservatively, give it back in the hands of Otis Kroc. Kroc under center, two running backs. Kroc hands it off over on that left side, tries to come over to that left, and it is Tyler Roberge brought down for zero gain. It's Devlin coming out of the bottom of the pile. Should I take that back? It was Hunter Smith on that carry for the Hornets. That's his first carry of the night.
Yeah, like we said, this team's got four backs they're going to be coming with tonight, so clearly they can run a variety of different guys in a variety of different ways.
Nice tackle by Devlin there, popping off the field again. And it is Kroc going back. He's handing it off to Roberge, testing the right side of the line. Nothing going there. Brought down by the Tigers. And it was led by Maverick Payne there, getting the tackle on Roberge.
All right, Tigers football is brought to you by Mike's Fuel for all your home, business, and agricultural needs, Route 22A in Bridport.
And with that lack of any gain, it's 3rd and 10 here for the Essex Hornets from their own 35-yard line. So looking for some points, some yards here if they're going to keep this drive going. And quarterback hands it off up the middle. That's a big hole. Just leaning forward is the running back, plowing forward. Big gain there. That's going to be a 15, 16, 17. He's fighting for more gain at the end. Andrew Gleason comes up out of the pile saying, I got it. I don't think the officials buy that at all. It's going to be the first down there. 15-yard gain.
Well, that was easily the biggest play we've seen for this Essex offense so far tonight. I didn't think he was going to pick up as much as he did, but he was able to bust it off, and they got the first.
And we're going to give that, I think that was Luke Roberge. And here they come. They're at the 50-yard line. 1st and 10 are the Essex Hornets able to pick up that first down. And it's Kroc under center. We're going to have some movement against the Hornets. See
Essex
what the call is.
Yeah, they got to be careful here. You know, we've seen a lot of penalties on them tonight so far. So eventually it's going to get them.
Except that this penalty was called as an offsides against the Tigers.
Oh.
So that's going to move it against them. It's going to be 1st and 5 for the Hornets from the 45-yard line of the Tigers. So certainly that's the kind of position where really if you're the Hornets coaches, you can call just about anything at that point. Well, if decent ways away from the end zone, but not in your own danger, you've got only 5 yards to make for the first down. You've got 4 downs to do it. You can be as creative as you want to be here. Let's see what they do here with Otis Kroc under center. 2 running backs and 2 tight ends on the left side. At the end of 1, it ticks down. It is the Essex Hornets leading the Middlebury Tigers by a score of 7-0 on 92.1 WVTK, the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Hi, this is John Wallace, graduate gemologist and owner of Autumn Gold in Middlebury, Vermont. Stop in and melt someone's heart. Whether you're looking for fine handcrafted jewelry, a rare gemstone, or an awesome diamond, come in and see what we have to offer. Meet our fun staff of very talented designers and goldsmiths. And remember, we do expert in-house repairs, restorations, and appraisals as well. Autumn Gold, the Earth's most beautiful gifts.
The A. Johnson Company in Bristol has been a family-owned business since 1906. They supply woodworkers and do-it-yourself remodeling projects with locally and sustainably harvested timber. Visit their retail store and friendly staff on Route 116 in Bristol and see their wide selection of softwood and hardwood lumber, including paneling, flooring, and choose from planed or rough. The A. Johnson Company also sells kiln-dried firewood. Make the A. Johnson Company your one stop for all your lumber needs or call 453-4884. That's 453-4884.
High school football is on 92.1 WVTK.
And on the 1st and 5, it is Otis going to the Kroc. Otis Kroc headed out to the outside on the left side, looking downfield, unable to throw it, but is able to get down there. And he picks up about 2 yards. It's going to be 2nd and 3 here as we get the second quarter underway. With a score of 7-0, Essex is leading the Tigers. The only score so far, a 90-yard fumble return by Jordan Hines. And here comes Kroc. It is 2nd and 4 for the Hornets from the Tigers 44. And it's a run straight up the middle by fullback Liam Coulter. And Coulter is able to pick up the first down, gain of 4 yards the old-fashioned way, straight up the middle for the young man.
This Essex offense is finding some tempo right now. They've had a few big plays strung together.
They sure have, and they're able to make some work. I mean, as they started out just 2 yards carry, right now it's been 6, 15, 4. It was Roberge on that 15-yard run, so I did get confirmation of that from our friend Austin Danforth of the Free Press. So it is Otis Kroc under center. Kroc going back, drops on the ground. It's a ball on the ground. Devlin comes in and just kind of holds Kroc there. So it is going to be third down and quite a few here. Second down and quite a few here for the Essex. It's going to be second and 14 for the Essex Hornets.
Starting to wonder if someone greased these footballs tonight. We're seeing a lot of them getting dropped on the ground in a variety of ways.
Well, you know, it could just be accident. You know, correlation's not always causation, so it may not be that. But to be fair, it could also be a little bit of nerves, right? You get a little tight for a game
of
like
course,
tonight.
Of course.
So we'll see. Otis Kroc under center, two wide receivers, one tight end to the right side. And it is Liam Coulter testing that right side. Not gaining much, though. Gaining maybe 2 yards on that run. It's Trey Kaufman and Andrew Gleason coming up off of him.
Middlebury Tigers football is brought to you by Vermont Field Sports for all your sports and hunting needs with a great selection of new and used guns, Route 7 in Middlebury.
Right now, the Tigers have held Coulter to not that many yards, though. He's got a total of 15 yards on 4 carries by my count. So they're doing pretty well with him. And it is Kroc under center. He's got two running backs, and he's going to run out to his left side. He's got some men blocking for him. Nice, nice hold out. He's cutting over to the right side. He's gained 10. It's a stiff arm. Gets down to the 20. Gets down to the 15. Down to the 11. He started at the 42, and he got down to the 11-yard line on that run. 31-yard gain for the quarterback.
Well, the whole line shifted left, so the entire Middlebury defense did the same. And when he rolled out to the right, there was no one there to stop him. It was all green grass.
They really over-pursued him, absolutely. And it was a nifty cutback. A lot of people wouldn't be able to make that move. To be honest, I thought he was going to get stoned pretty much right after the line of scrimmage. But then he was able to kick it out. And once he did, they had over-pursued so far to that direction that he was able to run it back. A lot more green on that side than I expected. And the Essex Hornets are taking a timeout, but they are moving. It's going to be first and 10 at the 10 of the Tigers, with the Hornets already leading by a score of 7-0.
Well, you know, that was an opportunity for this Tigers team to get a stop there. They had him in a position where, because of that fumble, they were pushed a little far back, but they weren't able to get it clearly, and he was able to bust off a huge play, and now they're sitting down here in the red zone, chance to make this a two-score game.
And certainly, if it becomes that, you know, the Tigers are going to have to think, what has happened here? They have not played a bad game by any estimation. They've only allowed 2 long plays. They allowed a 15-yard run to Roberge. That 18-yard one by Kroc, certainly the biggest play of the game so far. That wasn't the one important special team play by Jordan Hines early on that put the Hornets ahead. So except for the Tigers, it's a couple plays here and there. But that's the way football can work sometimes. You know, it's a little bit, and then somebody springs one. All right, first and 10 for the Hornets, leading 7-0 with 9:51 left to go in the second quarter. It is Kroc under center. He's got 3 running backs, and Kroc goes back, and he is handed it off to his tailback, plowing forward for 3 yards into the left side of the Tigers line was Tyler Roberge.
So far, what I've seen from this Essex team is that these guys are for real. They got some playmakers. They got guys that when they get that space, they're able to bust it off to the end zone or pretty far down the field. They got guys that can make things happen.
Yeah, they've certainly been able to in a couple spots. At the same time, Tigers have come up and played generally good defense. Just when it's faltered in a fairly large way. Otis Kroc under center with his running backs. And this time, it is going to be Liam Coulter heading right up the middle. And he's going to be gaining a few yards, even though he's just churning. He's going to get up to about the 5-yard line. It is going to be 3rd and 5 here for the Hornets looking to score. 3rd and about 6, actually.
Tigers football is brought to you by the A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol. Sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified.
We've seen very few field goals this season, I have to say. If I was Essex at this juncture, I would run it up the middle. You're so close. If you don't get it, they, I don't know. They don't look like they're going to. They have no running backs in the backfield. Although they are going to pitch it to the left side to Tyler Roberge. He's going to try that left side. Gets tripped up. And then other Tigers absolutely come in and swarm it. Let's see, that tackle was really caused by number 36, Tyler Hutt. Tyler came over, was able to slow him down, and the rest of the Tigers were able to flow to it. It is going to be 4th and 7. That was a loss of 1 on that run there by Roberge. I have to admit, we've seen enough times where going for it did not work. I would kick it, and it looks like that's what the Essex Hornets are going to do.
Yeah, in a game like this where it's been so defensively minded and really no one's been able to break through offensively, take whatever points you can get.
And it's Michael Bartlett, I believe, in for the kick. And it is up. It is good. It was not Bartlett. Let's give it to Anthony Hope. It was Anthony Hope on that field goal. It's 10-0. Essex, ahead of the Tigers on 92.1 WVTK, the One Credit Union Radio Network.
You're sure to drive in style, mile after mile, when you join the team, Team Denneker.
It's Tom Denneker. Sometimes luck isn't always on your side. Maybe you're recently divorced, lost your job, had an illness in the family, lost your home, declared bankruptcy, or had a vehicle repossessed. In other words, you have really poor credit or no credit. Well, my friends, your luck is about to change. You need a vehicle. No problem. Here's how you get 100% guaranteed credit approval at Denneker Chevrolet. Visit us at Denneker Chevrolet, ask for Brett or David, and ask about 100% guaranteed credit approval. You can come in today and drive out in a vehicle today. We make Denneker deals, and we make you smile. At Denneker Chevrolet, we make it happen. Visit us at Route 7 South in Middlebury, at Denneker Virgens, or DenekerChevrolet.com.
Denneker Chevrolet.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Trailing by 10 points, the Tiger kick returners wait for it at their own 15. The Essex Hornets just went ahead by a field goal. And Tigers looking to get something going. It's Trey Kaufman returning it from the 15, testing the right side, finding a nice hole even though he slips, gets it up to about the 37-yard line, and that's where the Tigers are going to take over with Andrew Gleason and company looking to answer this swing of events here that's really favored the Essex Hornets.
Yeah, they got to get something going here. You know, their offense is starting to look stagnant. When they get down, it just seems that they don't have the right mindset, that they're thinking too grand scheme of the game and not just taking it play by play. When they just look at it and analyze it, what do we do need to get this first down? What do we do beyond that? And just take it more systematically. This Tigers team has had success.
And let's really hope to see. We want to see that patience. Now, they're not in a patient setup here. They've got 4 wide receivers and 1 fullback. And it's that fullback carrying it. It's Spencer Carpenter on that right side, finding a nice hole, plowing forward. That's going to be a 6, maybe 7-yard gain for Carpenter on that right side. Nothing fancy, but a nice little gain.
Yeah, if the Tigers can score on this drive and then hold them, they get the ball back at the second half, like we were talking about earlier. They have a chance to take the lead. So you score right here, you're right back in it, maybe even leading it.
2nd and 3 for the Tigers for the 43-yard line, their own side of the field. They are trailing by a score of 10-0. Gleason under center with his 4 running backs. He's got Pearson Beatty in the game. It's thrown out to the right side to Trey Kaufman. Nice, nifty move there to avoid the tackler. Trey was in space on the left side, able to plow forward. Nice game, 7 yards on that catch. First pass and completion by either team so far this game.
Tigers football is brought to you by Mike's Auto and Towing for all your car care needs and more. See them online at mikesautomid.com. That's mikesautomid.com.
And the Tigers looking over the sideline, looking to get it in off this no-huddle offense. They're going to have 2 wide receivers standing up. They're going to have 3 running backs. Kaufman going in the motion from left to right. Gleason rolling out left to right, looking downfield for Kaufman and DiLorenzo. He's getting pursued to that sideline. Looks like he's running out of space. Intercepted! Threw it absolutely in the chest of the player over on the 44-yard line. Looked like he was going to run out of space. And then it was Ryder Thornton got the interception of Andrew Gleason.
Yeah, I don't know what Gleason was thinking on that one. He rolled out to the side. He was throwing off his back foot while he was being pursued. That's the stuff we're talking about. That's not patient, you know? Maybe throw that one out of bounds, wait till the next down and go at it. But now we're looking at Essex with the ball again, chance to add on to this lead.
Yeah, and it didn't look like there was much space out there. They had several crossing routes going across. They had DiLorenzo going long. They had Kaufman going shorter, and they both were covered. And when he threw it on a rope. It's hard when your feet aren't set. You're headed towards the sideline, and certainly running it out of bounds there would have been better. But right now, the Hornets, leading by a score of 10-0, now have the ball again. And it is Otis Crock under center. Crock rolls back. He puts it on the left side of the right up the middle. Excellent run there. About a 18-yard gain. Thereby, let me get that number. That was an 18-yard gain run by Jordan Hines. Absolutely up the middle. Nothing good there except some trickeration. 18-yard gain. It's going to be first and 10 from the 37 of the Tigers for the Hornets. Up by 10, they're looking to add some more to this scoreboard. It's Crock under center, two running backs, and this time up the middle, it's Haynes again. Hines again picking up about 3 yards.
Tigers football is brought to you by Monument Farms of Weybridge for your local fresh milk from their farm to your local store.
Tackle was made by Tyler Hunt, able to get him after only a few yards here. It is going to be 2nd and 7 from the Tigers 34. 5:51 left to go in the second quarter. Tigers are trailing 10-0 with the Hornets on the move. It's Crock under center, two running backs, a couple tight ends. And it is a handoff to Coulter up the middle. Huge hole. It wasn't a huge hole. It was that Coulter was able to shed people. He didn't even wiggle. He just knocked people off of him. And he went from the 34 down to about the 19. Nice 15-yard gain for the young man.
Well, the guy was just running on a line. He covered the ball up with two hands. No chance of fumbling it. Everyone looked like they were trying to strip it with him running upright. No one made the tackle. You got to take out a big guy's legs when he's coming at you.
You know,
it was like
surprising
that
to see him emerge from that line, Chek Chikwete style there. And they go to him again. Why not? Coulter, he's got a lot of people stacking him up, but he's able to power forward. Only about 2 yard gain that time as the Tiger defense stiffens. Still, it's going to be 2nd and 9 from the 18 of the Tigers.
This Tigers defense is now starting to look a little reminiscent of that Brattleboro game where they kind of were just scratching their heads on defense, not knowing how to stop the run.
And we just have a little sub out here, and it is Jack Detman who just subbed in the game for the Tigers on the defensive line. And it's Crock under center. Crock hands it off to man going over left, able to shed down one tackler, but then gets stacked up by a bunch. A gain of a few yards there by Jordan Hines. And they are going to say he got a gain of about 3 there. It is going to be 3rd down and 6 to go for the Essex Hornets from the 14. And certainly for Essex, you know, the kicker showed he could do it last time. Right now they're on the right hash mark. You have to think you're ahead by 10 right now. Conservative play running towards the middle of the field. So you have to. You're set up for a nice field goal. And sure enough, they do just that. They run up, basically up the hash marks. It's going to be no gain. It's going to be 4th down, as it was Jack Detman getting in on that tackle. For the Tigers, Coulter, really no gain on that run.
Well, fortunate they didn't give up another touchdown, able to make this a 3-score game. Still a 2-touchdown game, still within Tigers' grasp right now.
Oh, absolutely, most definitely. But more disturbing for them is the fact they've been allowing some long plays to the Hornets.
Yes.
Right now, the Hornets looking over at the sideline, 4th and 6. Doesn't look like they're going to go with the kicking game here. Maybe figuring up by 13, it's worth to risking getting ahead by more. Or up by 10, worth risking getting up by 17.
Yeah, and they're using another one of their timeouts right now. Looks like they want to go back over and talk about this play a little bit more.
And Middlebury Tigers is brought to you by
McIntyre Services of Middlebury on Court Street and Exchange Street in Middlebury, keeping friends warm for over 70 years. And by Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, your local True Value hardware store.
Right now, pretty big one here for the Tigers, for sure. Big one for the Hornets, but I have to say, as the game swing goes, it is more of a Tigers issue right now. You're going to be looking at 4th and 6 with the Hornets set up on the 15-yard line. 3:30 left to go in the second quarter with the Hornets up 10-0. If the Tigers could stop them here, they're going to have the ball back trailing by 10. If the Hornets are able to pick up this first down or get, then they're looking to get more. If they're able to get a touchdown, they're going to be looking at a substantial lead on the Tigers, who really haven't gotten anything going tonight. 2 tighter turnovers have put them in this position, and sometimes being cautious is the better choice. I think for Essex, this is the better choice. They are going to go for a 30. It's going to be a long field goal. It's going to be a 32-yard field goal.
Oh, a 22-yarder. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You got the
right,
end zone
right.
as well,
yep,
my
yep,
friend.
Yep.
And the snap is in, and it's blocked. Oh. It's knocked down by Andrew Gleason. Now it's picked up by the kicker, who's not going to be able to do anything with it. Andrew Gleason absolutely came off that left side, smothered it up, and it fell to Anthony Hope to cover it up. But nothing there for the Hornets. Huge play by Gleason. That's the way you atone for an interception.
God, you heard me yell there. I didn't even see Gleason coming. I almost fell out of my chair. He came in so fast. He was flying in there.
It's like he came in the door and tackled you.
Yeah, well, huge play. Hopefully that'll get him going a little bit on offense, a little bit of a confidence builder for him right now. He needed a big play.
He did, and that was awesome for him, certainly. Couldn't have been feeling good about that interception. 3:21 left to go. Tigers trailing by 10, but feeling a lot better about things at their own 32. Gleason under center, one wide receiver off to the right, three running backs. Gleason looks like some confusion on the exchange. Gleason gets dropped down for a loss of about three. It looks like he and Carpenter could decide what happened, and the ball goes over to the Hornets. Somehow in that exchange, it must have gotten handed over.
Yeah, I didn't see what happened in there. Jeez, what a big play. Just totally reversed the other way. One play and we're going back the other way.
They were pointing, but it doesn't look like the offense thinks, well, they do play both ways, so we'll see.
Yeah, I personally didn't see the fumble on that one. He must have pulled it away from him as he's going down. It wasn't a clean fumble on the floor.
No, and it was just messy between him and Carpenter in the first place. Didn't look like either one knew which one the other was going to have it, and then somehow in that process, it popped out. That's three turnovers for the Tigers here in this first half. The last game the Tigers lost, the one against the Brattleboro Colonels, yep. They had five turnovers, so certainly not good. And it is Otis back in the shotgun. He hands it off to the running back coming to the right side. He's leaning forward, eventually gets smacked down by Tyler Hutt, but that was a gain of a few for Jordan Hines.
Tigers football is brought to you by the National Bank of Middlebury with locations in Middlebury, Virgins, Brandon, Bristol, and Hinesburg. Online at nbmvt.com.
Second and seven. It's Kroc rolling over to the right side. Looking downfield. There's a flag out. Ball is tipped at the line of scrimmage, and it falls helplessly to the ground, but we'll see what the call was. It's going to be holding against the Essex Hornets.
Boy, we're struggling to keep an eye on this clock right now, being inside this booth. It's starting to wind down. We just got a little inside 3 minutes left right now.
That's right. 2:42 left to go in the second quarter. The Tigers are trailing by a score of 10-0. Things had gone the Tigers' way a little bit recently with Andrew Gleason blocking a field goal try by Anthony Hope. But then the Tigers giving it over on the Gleason fumble. And now it is Essex with a second and eight. However, from their own 40, they lost a good amount with that holding call.
Yeah, definitely a tricky position for them to be in. Honestly, as a Tigers fan, you got to be happy with where it's at right now, considering how poorly they played. To be only down 10 is almost a blessing for them.
Absolutely, but at the same time, they haven't made anything happen either. They may not be in bad shape, but they're not in good shape.
No, absolutely not.
At any rate, they really haven't had. If we look as we wait here for a second, we look at the Tigers' production. They only have one play of greater than 6 yards. They have one 10-yard run by Andrew Gleason.
Well, as we both know, Dennis Smith is a guru of making big changes during the halftime. So we're going to be curious to see what they come out with. They always have some sort of tricky play that gets the offense going and sparks some life into the team coming out of the second half.
Although it's some of those plays that have hurt them in a way. It's often been a rollout.
Tonight,
it's been things like that.
Tonight it has been.
And it is Otis Kroc under center. He goes back and hands it up the middle to Coulter. And Coulter churning forward for a few yards. He's going to end up at the 43.5, let's say, of the Tigers. That was a gain of about 3 yards. And it's going to be third and seven for the... No, I'm sorry. It's going to be a lot more than that. Their scoreboard's on. It's going to be third and about 20 for the Hornets. And it is, he's going back. He hands it off to that right side. Nice hole being opened up on the right side, but then some Tigers come in and sniff that out. Jordan Hines with a decent gain.
Tell you, Jordan Hines is scary when he gets out into space. He can really make anything happen out there. When he has room to operate, he's really shifty.
He is shifty. There are 2 minutes left to go here for the Hornets trying to make something happen. They have gotten to the Tigers 35. However, it is 4th and 13. So too far to kick it. and too close to punt it, you think they're going to try to pick up 13 yards here and get that first down. Certainly don't do anything too crazy. Tigers right now with 2 minutes left to go in the second quarter, not having put any points on the board. Certainly going to be looking and seeing as they come out right now with, you know, depending on what happens here, they'll either get one last possession for this half. Certainly they will get the possession at the beginning of the second half. What are they going to be able to do with it to bring this game closer to where it needs to be?
And that's a big question, and I think they're asking that same question of themselves right now.
Bigger thing is to stay confident. Even though you've had mistakes, as you say, it's within... certainly within reach here. Plenty of game left to go. Only a two-score game. Right now, though, the Tigers need to hold this fourth down. Looks like they... interesting. They are going to punt from the Tigers' 35. They don't have a lot to gain here. We'll see what happens. And the snap is up, and it's going to be punted. And it is going to fall at the 10-yard line. So, hey...
great
the Tigers
punt.
Are going to pick it. It worked out well for them. We'll give them that. The Tigers are going to pick it up first and 10 from their own 10-yard line. Certainly the Hornets probably just hoping that maybe you get a little lightning in a bottle here with the Tigers backed up against their own end zone.
Yeah, it was a great punt. You know, it just died. It seemed like it hit that 10-yard line and didn't move an inch more than that.
Yeah, you know, you don't have punters necessarily. You know, high school punters don't punt that far. They're usually practicing booming it as far as they can and seeing if they can get reasonable punts to have that level of control. Worked out well there for Essex. It's Gleason under center, kind of a safe setup here. Oh, Andrew Gleason didn't have a running back. He went back. He tried to hand it off to Carpenter, and no one was there. He gets dropped for a six-yard loss just because of miscommunication. That's not the kind of miscommunication you want 6 weeks into the season.
No, he really looked over there and tried to pass it to no one. There was really no one for him to go to. A lot of miscommunications tonight on that shovel pass we saw earlier that led to the 90-yard fumble return for a touchdown. A lot of issues like that. You can't be having those sort of issues. You're not going to win against the best teams in this division doing things like that.
Tigers second and 16 from their own four, and this time it's Kaufman working up the middle, getting some back. He's going to get to the 12-yard line, so getting past that original line of scrimmage. That was a gain of about 5 yards for Trey Kaufman. Still, it's going to be third and 8 with 1 minute left in the first quarter. Tigers trailing 10 to nothing.
Tigers football is brought to you by Countryside Carpet and Paint in Middlebury, your one-stop shop flooring, paint, and window treatments. Stop in today and decorate the countryside way.
And here comes Gleason with it, third and 8. And they try to go up the middle. They are going to be stuffed. It's going to be fourth down for the Tigers on the 12-yard line of the Hornets. And it was Carpenter really unable to do it. Beatty unable to do anything on that carry.
Well, certainly a discouraging drive right now. You hope that maybe even if you didn't get some points going in the second half, you got some sort of plays that gave you some confidence in your ability to operate. And this drive really, it's a momentum crusher.
It sure is. And so if you have to figure for the Tigers, the time is going to tick down here. The Tigers are going to let it do so. And going into halftime here in Essex Junction, it is the Middlebury Tigers trailing the Hornets by a score of 10 to nothing on 92.1 WVTK, the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Monument Farms in Weybridge is 100% authentic and part of Vermont's heritage. They literally do it all, from growing their own corn, raising the cows, feeding and milking them, then processing and distributing the milk. You can find their great local products in many area stores if you live locally. Please stop by their popular dairy store Monday through Fridays. Monument Farms, landmark quality from the heart of Vermont in Weybridge.
Real trust is having a partner you can count on. National Bank of Middlebury has experienced bankers providing advice, guidance, and support you can trust, and a full range of loans, savings, and online products and services. Find out what having the right partner can do for you. Offices in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes, or online at mbmvt.com. Bank real. Live real. National Bank of Middlebury.
Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Equal opportunity employer.
Hi, this is Adam at Broughton's Big Country Hardware in Bridport. With the biggest selection of Cub Cadet power equipment in the area, at Broughton's, we carry the Cub Cadet models they won't show you at the big box store. Cub Cadet tractors, Cub Cadet zero turn, snow throwers. The Cub Cadet deals are on. Late season discounts, early bird specials. And with a parts, service, and warranty team, deal with the experts. Cub Cadet headquarters. Hardware with a twist. Broughton's Big Country Hardware. It's the best time to buy a Cub Cadet. It's time to cut a deal at Broughton's, Route 22A, Bridport.
How many times have you really felt good about the financial institution you deal with? The people who use all the varied services of One Credit Union on Green Street in Vergennes do. It might be because One Credit Union is known for their unmatched personal service. This service is provided by people you like to work with, not by people you have to work with. Low-fee banking services provided by people you like. It all adds up to One Credit Union. If your bank doesn't add up to that, it's time for a change. One Credit Union, Green Street, Vergennes. One Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA.
The MUHS Tigers play here. WVTK, Port Henry, Vergennes, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. Now back to the field for more Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
Welcome to the Mike's Fuels Halftime Show on 92.1 WVTK. This is Bjarke Sears alongside Alex Inescu. We're up here in Essex Junction at halftime. The Tigers are trailing the Essex Hornets by a score of 10-0. It is week 6 of the season. Big game for both teams. The Tigers coming in with a record of 4-1. Essex coming in with a record of 3-2. Neck and neck in the QPR standings. If the playoffs started tonight, these teams would play each other, and as it would be in Middlebury, making this game that much more interesting and that much exciting. And so far, Alex, kind of a weird first half.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Tigers fan, you got to be happy. It's only 10 points that you're down. Really a dominating performance from Essex. The Middlebury Tigers weren't able to establish any sort of offensive flow, and constantly drives are being destroyed and disintegrated with interceptions, fumbles, miscommunications, penalties. It seems like everything that could go wrong has gone wrong for them so far.
Absolutely. And give us a rundown of the scoring so far, and then we'll talk about some of the other things that happened.
Well, early on, we had Middlebury driving, and right inside their own 10, they fumbled the ball when it was picked up by Jordan Hines and taken 90 yards the other way for a touchdown to make it 7-0 after the field goal. Then in the second quarter at the 7:44 mark, we had a field goal by Anthony Pope to make it 10-0. A few more times that Essex was really threatening, but really wasn't able to get anything going. And the Tigers got to be, they're lucky that this is what they're at right now. They're getting the ball coming out of the second half and maybe a chance to make something happen.
Yeah, and as you say, you know, really it's been self-inflicted wounds for the Tigers, and they are lucky for it. And, you know, it's that you get a fumble, you get an interception, you get two fumbles, you get an interception. The one obviously gets returned, but this game could be much, much worse. And the Tigers haven't done anything productive so far this game. And I think in week 6 of the season, that's the biggest concern, even beyond the mistakes, because mistakes happen. It's not like they've been productive despite the mistakes.
No, they had one drive that was kind of strung together, but even that drive, they got the ball within the 30. They really haven't established any sort of flow coming down the field, which you got to be concerned about. They tried it a number of ways. It honestly looks like Gleason is scared to put the ball in the air at this point.
It does, and certainly he's going to have to maintain his confidence going forward as we get into the second half. We're going to step aside for a moment on the Mike's Fuels Halftime Show. When we come back, we're going to have Austin Danforth from the Burlington Free Press join us to give a sense of what's going on around high school sports and maybe some college sports stories here in Vermont. You're listening to High School Football on 92.1 WVTK, the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Come into Foster Motors on Route 7 in Middlebury this month for Ram Power Days and the Jeep Celebration event. Foster Motors is celebrating with a big open house. Saturday, October 15th from 9 to 4 p.m., there'll be a barbecue from Route 7 Smokehouse, refreshments, and live music on the lot by Barbie and Bones. Come ride and drive the all-new Chrysler Pacifica minivan. Jeep owners, bring your Jeeps to show them off. Saturday, October 15th from 9 to 4 p.m. Foster Motors, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram on Route 7 in Middlebury. And remember, at Foster Motors,
don't miss the Middlebury Snow Bowl Family Bash. It's happening Saturday from noon till 4. Make it a fun day for the entire family with live music and food. Enjoy the barbecue lunch for only $8. Rides are only $3 for students and children and $5 for adults. The barbecue and lift rides are going to go from noon till 4, and the last lift loads at 3:30. It benefits the Middlebury College Ski Patrol. Also, while you're there, grab your season pass. They are on sale. And the ski shop opens for leases, rentals, and sales. They have lots of holdovers, deeply discounted, including North Face equipment for sale. And they're checking in tune-ups, and the snow school's personnel will be on hand. The foliage is going to be a peak, so take a ride up to the top of the bowl and see the colorful ride. Make it a fun-filled Saturday and get those skis ready for all the big snowstorms that are predicted. It's the Snow Bowl Family Bash this Saturday the 8th at Middlebury Snow Bowl from noon till 4, Route 125 in Hancock. Don't miss out on all the fun.
Hi, this is John Wallace, graduate gemologist and owner of Autumn Gold in Middlebury, Vermont. Stop in and melt someone's heart. Whether you're looking for fine handcrafted jewelry, a rare gemstone, or an awesome diamond, come in and see what we have to offer. Meet our fun staff of very talented designers and goldsmiths. And remember, we do expert in-house repairs, restorations, and appraisals as well. Autumn Gold, the Earth's most beautiful gifts.
This fall, think of the Shelburne Museum Store when looking for handmade products, jewelry, or special gifts for the ones you love. Open every day, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
When looking for childcare, call Natus Play School South. They're now accepting 6 weeks to 5 years old. It's a great feeling when you have confidence in your childcare. Call 539-2107 or natusplayschool.com for enrollment. Conveniently located on Route 7 in North Ferrisburg.
This is where the Middlebury Tigers play. 92.1 WVTK.
And we're back at the Mike's Fuels Halftime Show on 92.1 WVTK. Mike's Fuels in Bridgeport, serving Addison County and parts of Rutland County, is your complete fuel dealer with a full line of fuels, including propane. Mike's Fuels also offers 24/7 emergency burner service. It's approaching the time for winter fuel programs. Give Mike's Fuels a call to discuss the program that fits your fuel needs. When it's time for fuel, call them at 758-3835 or 247-9500. Mike's Fuels on 22A in Bridgeport. And it's an honor. We like to get you in when you can. Oh, Austin, geez. It was great to have you last year. It's fun to see you again. We're joined by Austin Danforth of the Burlington Free Press. And, Austin, first of all, thanks for coming on. And second of all, quick thoughts on this game. What have you seen? What's been interesting?
I'm surprised. I mean, as soon as that fumble happened and Jordan Hines raced back, you know, 85 yards with it, I was like, man, this sort of game, the way these two teams have, like, not necessarily clicked on offense, you know, don't necessarily the most explosive offenses around, I felt like immediately that was going to be a pretty big play. And, you know, since then, Middlebury has no first downs. And I was just looking at my notes for the first half. I was shocked. I mean, but you watch the rest of the half after that, and they really couldn't get much going. Essex got a little bit going. Middlebury made the one great stand there, and then the blocked field goal. Obviously, it's not out of reach, but I was surprised that maybe how out of sync Middlebury looked.
Absolutely. And some of the plays that we point out, there was one down here where Andrew Gleason drops back, looks to hand to Spencer Carpenter. No one's there. He looks up. He's got two defenders in his face. It's for week six of the season. You're surprised to see that, I think.
Yeah, that was inside the 10-yard line, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It was right in there. You know, right on their doorstep going the other way. Yeah, that was a tough spot. And then I said, say, for Essex, they're getting a little more going here.
Yeah, they have. I think once they broke off a couple of those long runs, a couple on third down, I think it was, that really opens up that type of offense where you have to respect, you know, maybe guys cutting back or if you over-pursue. It seemed like that's what it was. And the one that was sort of the real surprising one was they were pinned way back almost to the 50. Broken play for the quarterback, Kroc, and the pocket's collapsing on him, and then he sees some daylight, shoots up the middle, and then scoots to the right down to the 10. That was maybe the second biggest play of the half right there.
Yeah, and certainly the over-pursuit that kind of allowed that to happen. But we get you out here for football, but also you cover a lot of different things, certainly for the Free Press. And so one thing for our viewers at home, a lot of people get a little Addison County mindset. Just around the state, what for you have been the biggest stories here so far this fall that our people at home can pay attention to?
Yeah, well, one of them broke yesterday. I went to UVM for a 3:30 press conference thinking with no, the UVM very tight-lipped about it. Didn't really have any clue what it was going to be about. Thought maybe if it was that, it would be something about the long-awaited arena, maybe some progress there, or something else.
You're not expecting it's going to be four people taking a seat.
No, the hazing revelation, it was nothing as salacious as what happened in 1999, which led to the cancellation of the season that year. But real surprising. I think you don't expect, I mean, with the scrutiny that team is under, since 1999 and the sort of notoriety it got from that. It's like the one thing you don't do if you're a UVM hockey player is haze. Because that's everybody's looking for that.
Now, are they? What is their status in terms of where they are? Are they off the team, period?
It's a 5-game suspension, games only.
Gotcha. So, okay. Like, so they can practice.
They can practice. They will not travel to games and practice, you know, warm up between games. They're simply on campus and practicing around here. It sounds like they'll be back after they play Michigan and then begin their hockey schedule. So,
you know, it's interesting when you're young, you know, time falls behind and people probably talk about it. For them, 1999, I mean, I teach high schoolers. That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it may be that things kind of fade from your radar. I know they do have some education things when they come into the program about how it is they're supposed
right.
to behave and behind not. But you wonder if something comes in one ear and out the other. Any other things you've been looking at? Interesting high school storylines, things in the soccer realm?
You're yeah.
Big fan of that. Anything?
Yeah, UVM men's soccer team is flying this year. They're down 1-0 at Albany right now tonight. Albany just knocked off the number 3 team in the country, Syracuse, the other night. And even that's even with I think they're 5-3-2 this year. UVM's 9-2-1, basically their best non-conference start ever. Easily the best since the 70s when they played some different teams. But yeah, they're real fun to watch. Anybody that can make it to Burlington for a game coming up is well advised to do so, because they got a couple players that are pretty special, a couple forwards, Brian Wright and Bernard Yeboah. Wright's already the second all-time leading scorer. He has a very bright future if he, depending on where his career goes after UVM. They're a special bunch. So that's one thing. Outside that, you look at this high school soccer. Burlington's the last undefeated team in Division I, but there's 3 other very good teams out there with Essex, South Burlington, and CVU. The Tigers got a big win over CVU
first
a couple weeks back.
First time in about 20 years, I think.
Oh,
they
probably all of
defeated
that.
The Redhawks.
All of that.
Since 96, I believe.
But those 4 teams, that would make an unreal Final Four if they got there. Girls soccer, sort of the upstart is South Burlington. They knocked off BBA at BBA first, and coming into the season, Burn Burton had sort of what looked like a super team in the works with 3 Division I commitments on the
wow.
team already. Yeah,
that's
like
tremendous.
They could play some soccer. One of those kids went down with a season-ending injury, but they've only lost the 1 game. Colchester's right there with 1 loss. CVU girls, the 5-time defending champions, they're there at 7-1-1 going into tomorrow. So, yeah, it's exciting in girls soccer. A lot more open than it was, say, the last couple of years.
And a last word here before we let you go. Just, you know, Chittenden County area football. Is it Essex that's really emerging maybe as the team to look at? Or
It's tough. Right now, the way they're as clean as they're playing right now, I'd say they're back in the mix. I think you look at CVU's probably still the team.
Sure.
They've got the results. Burlington, tough loss there when they lost quarterback Pete Labratio. But they still have one of the best running backs in the state with Kevin Garrison. So but the 1-2 punch they have in the backfield with Garrison and Alex Kate, that could get them to the semis, if not the final. I mean, they're still a good club.
Well, thank you very much, Austin. We always appreciate you being on. Thank you very much, sir.
You bet.
We're going to step aside here, and we'll be back pretty close to kickoff here at 92.1 WVTK, the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera & Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. LaBerge equals insurance.
High school football is on 92.1 WVTK.
And we're back as we tick off towards the second half here, and we're rejoined here by Alex Inescu. Did you get any snacks in there, Alex?
I had a piece of pizza.
All right,
that was nice.
So we got him all fired up. He went down pit road, and now he's all
ready to go. I'm refueled.
Ready to go. Change the tires?
Change the tires?
All right, so we do have about a minute here before we're ready to go, Alex. And what's your thoughts here going into the second half? What would you like to see each team do?
For Essex, kind of keep with what you're doing. You got a good offensive flow. Maybe find an ability to finish more when you get in the red zone and finish off these good drives they've been putting together. And on the Middlebury side, find some sort of rhythm. Just take it one drive at a time. Like I said, the patience. I'd like to see, I'd like to see them run the ball a little bit more consistently and get these drives moving down the field with some sort of pace.
Yeah, and really figure out, you know, I think there's just some level of lack of identity here. What are you going to do? How's it going to be? And right now, you know, we talked about the need to be patient, and nothing has changed.
Yep.
I think
really, they were not nothing.
No. And as you talk about, you know, adjustments, what are those adjustments going to be as we go into the second half, which is about to begin? The Tigers are coming on. They're about to take the field.
Boy, and you say lack of identity. That's not something you want to hear this late in the season, that these guys don't know who they are and don't know what works for them. You gotta figure that out. It looks like this Essex team is confident in who they are, how they like to play, who are their guys. On the other side of the, on the Middlebury side, we're seeing confusion. We're seeing Gleason struggle back there. We're seeing fumbles from everyone. The team just looks discombobulated.
You know, and I think what also hits me, too, is that this is a Middlebury Tigers football game. The classic thing is, you know, pound the rock, play hard, defensive struggle, keep it low scoring. It's the kind of game that the people at home, the people used to listening and watching the Tigers, expect the Tigers to be really kind of exerting their will. And that is certainly not the case tonight with this team. And here they are. They're set up at the 40. It is the Essex court. It's kicking off to the Tigers to begin the second half. It is going to be grabbed by Trey Kaufman, bringing it up from the 30, 25. He gets it up to the 35. There is a gang of Hornets around him. Dare I say, a swarm of Hornets.
Some nice wordplay.
That's right. It'll be first and 10 from the Tigers, for the Hornets from their own 34. The Tigers trailing by a score of 10 to nothing. The Hornets scored on two different scores. The first was a fumble recovery by Jordan Hines. He returned it 90 yards from the fumble that was on. He led Shane Sheldrick fumble. He picked it up, ran 90 yards, really avoiding tacklers on the way. They were behind him. He just kind of ran ahead of them, was able to squeak it out. And then with 7:44 left to go in the second, Anthony Pope with a short field goal put them up 10 to nothing. Now let's see if Gleason and the boys can do something about it. It's Andrew Gleason under center. He hands it off to Kaufman. Nice hole up the middle. Kaufman sidesteps to the left side to take advantage of it. 6-yard gain up the middle to start the second half for Trey Kaufman.
Always interesting to see what plays this Middlebury team comes out with coming out of the half, too. They always seem to have something to kind of get themselves going, some sort of unique play call or something that really sparked the drive.
Yeah, we'll see what they do there. It's like a too unique. It is the Tigers with their standard double wing offense. They've got two running backs behind the tackles and then a fullback. And this is going to be handed off to the fullback. This is Carpenter. I dare say there was almost a fumble on that exchange between Gleason and Carpenter. Gain of maybe one.
You're right for saying that. It looked like Gleason kind of left his hand in there a little too long and couldn't pull it out. No more of these options where they're deciding mid-play who's taking the ball. You need to make these plays more confident, who's going to have it and who's not, because these exchanges have been killing them all season.
And that's hard. I mean, that's what the Tigers do. That option, that triple option idea is what they do, and yet it just doesn't look comfortable for them right now. It's Gleason with Kaufman, most of them left to the right. They're going to pitch it out to Kaufman, trying that right side. He's getting strung out along that line. Excellent pursuit by the linebackers of the Essex Hornets, and they're going to stop them. It is going to be a fourth down for the Hornets. No gain there for Trey Kaufman. It is going to be fourth and 5 for the Tigers from their own 40. They are going to have to punt it away. DiLorenzo back. This was certainly not the way the Tigers wanted to start the third quarter.
Nah, absolutely not. You know, when it came out, they looked pretty similar to what they were putting up in the first half. Not what you want to see from them right now.
And it's Kaufman standing at his own, sorry, DiLorenzo standing at his own 25. They're waiting at about the 25. And DiLorenzo gets into a nice punt. One of the nicer ones we've seen in a while. And it's going to get picked up at the 25. And it's being returned on that left side. Really no gain. Maybe a 5-yard gain on that return by Grady Corkum. And here come the Hornets back on the field, led by quarterback Otis Krock. Otis has not had a particularly huge first half. He did have one nice 31-yard run, really, on that broken play that Austin Danforth was describing on the Mike's Fuels halftime show. And but other than that, Otis has played a very clean game.
You know, sometimes the best thing you can do for your team is just not make a mistake, not be the reason why the drive ended. As long as you're doing your job and you're not trying to do too much, you can put your team in a position to make plays.
And Krock is a captain on this team. He is a senior quarterback, and that's the kind of thing you expect out of experience. It's Krock at the shotgun with one tight end and two running backs, and it is Coulter trying to work his way on the right side between the guard and the tackle. It doesn't look like much, but it's still going to be gain of a couple there for Coulter.
Tigers football is brought to you by Della Motorsports in Plattsburgh, making your buying experience a pleasant one.
Third and 7 for the Essex Hornets from their own 33-yard line. It is only a 10-point game, let's keep in mind. With 9:34 left to go in the third quarter, it is 10-0 Essex over the Tigers. Feels like a wider score than that, though, which means one thing goes the Tigers' way, they're right back in it. And it is a handoff up the middle to Coulter. Nice job by Essex confusing people. They caused me to stutter for a second. They also caused the defense to kind of flow, but nice job by the defense coming up on it. It was a combination of Lane Sheldrick from the back, Trey Kaufman, and, of course, name we call an awful lot, Tyler Hutt, in on the tackle for the Tigers. A gain of a couple there. It's going to be 3rd and 6 for the Hornets. And Krock's under center. He's going to hand it off. And nice little turtle there by the running back. And he come up. He's fighting for the first down. It looks like they're going to give it to him. That was a lot of nice hard running there by Jordan Hines as he worked on that right side.
Jordan Hines looked fantastic today. He's really played well.
And they stay, you know, they had a chance to stuff him there. They got to him behind before the first down marker, and he was able to just plow forward and keep going. So Jordan Hines, certainly you'd have to say, from an outside perspective, the person who has made this game happen on the scoreboard so far. And Krock brings his team up to the line. He's got two tight ends, one receiver, and two running backs. And Krock comes back, and they are giving a steady dose of Coulter right now. Coulter straight forward, not even barely looking for a hole, just kind of plowing into people, gaining 3 yards on that first down run.
You got to think if this Middlebury team can keep making them make plays and continue this drive to come keep on going and going, that eventually there's going to be some sort of kink in this Essex armor, and they're going to make some sort of mistake that gives Middlebury a shot like they had in the first half to make a play happen, to get a score.
Yeah, we've seen so often, if you make them make enough plays, something will happen. And it's Krock with two running backs, and this time he hands it off to that right side. They're really making a lot of work on the right side of that offensive line, but it was a dive forward for about 3 yards for Jordan Hines.
Tigers football is brought to you by Nadeus Play School, South, promoting lifelong learning in a safe and caring environment. Route 7 in Ferrisburg.
It is going to be 3rd and 5 here for the Essex Hornets. So far, it's been a heavy dose of Liam Coulter and Jordan Hines here early in the third quarter. Essex leading 10-0. It is Krock under center. He goes back. He was going to hand it to Hines, but there's a flag on the field. That might be the penalty that Alex was alluding to if you make them run enough plays, and it was.
And those are drive killers right there.
They certainly can be. We'll see. You know, you go from 3rd and 5 looking back to a 3rd and 10. You know, certainly when you've been picking up 3, 4, 5 yards at a time, you feel good about that. But that then makes a 5-yard penalty just that much worse. All of a sudden you get into a 3rd and really a 10-yard situation. You have to figure out how to overcome that. And you'd have to think you try to do something a little bit more experimental than maybe you've done so far. Here they come up to the line. It is Krock under center with his two running backs. And he goes a hand up the middle to Coulter, and it works. He gets a huge hole. Stiff arms Gleason. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. He's running away from Gleason. The 20, the 10. They try to trip him down. He drags Andrew into the end zone. What a touchdown. Goodness gracious.
We talk
huge
about that stiff arm.
60-yard run there by Coulter.
Yeah, he stiffed him around the 30 and was able to get a lot of separation between him and Gleason, and then he was able to beat him all the way to the end zone, dragging him the last 5 yards.
People need to understand, Andrew Gleason's fast. He's a quarterback. He's a defensive back. He's a superb hockey player. This is a fast athlete. He's a very good lacrosse player. He's got colleges looking at him to play lacrosse. He's a fast, fast person. For a fullback to be able to stiff arm him and then run away from him, that was a tremendous, tremendous play. And the point after is up. The point after is good. It is 17-0. Essex over the Tigers with 6:50 left to go in the third. 92.1 WBTK, the One Credit Union Radio Network.
When making home improvements, consider your options carefully.
Excuse me? Hello? I'm looking for bathroom tile.
Hi.
Oh, finally. I'm looking for bathroom tile.
Well, you're in the plumbing department, so...
So you can't help me?
No.
Countryside Carpet and Paint is your hometown experts in paint, flooring, tile, and hardwood. Their advice is genuine, and they truly care about how your project comes together. Countryside Carpet and Paint in Middlebury.
Decorate the countryside away.
When looking for child care, call Natus Play School South. They're now accepting 6 weeks to 5 years old. It's a great feeling when you have confidence in your child care. Call 539-2107 or natusplayschool.com for enrollment. Conveniently located on Route 7 in North Ferrisburg.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And what a tough night for the Tigers so far. They were in good position. They were on the Essex side of the field. Essex had the ball in a 3rd-and-10 situation. Looked like if they could just hold them, they make them punt it away and make something happen. Instead, Liam Coulter erupted up the middle of the field, breaking into the secondary, stiff-arming Andrew Gleason, running over the left side and scoring, dragging Gleason on his back as he went into the end zone. And now they are kicking off because they are ahead 17-10 to the Tigers. It's Pearson Beatty trying to return the ball. Gets up to about the 26 and lowers his shoulder on the potential tackler, but does get slowed up. The Tigers coming out right now on the 26-yard line, trailing by a score of 17-0 with 6:45 left in the third quarter. Alex, they need to make something happen.
Oh, absolutely. You know, this is one of the first times I've seen this Middlebury team just look demoralized on both sides of the ball. In that game we lost against Brattleboro, you never really felt that the team believed they were out of it. And even when they were down 10 early in the second half, there was never really that mindset that they were in it and that they were making plays to try and get towards the end zone. They've looked soft tonight.
And it is Gleason coming back. He's going to keep it himself. He's rolling back, looking downfield. He's got DiLorenzo over on the right side, just a little too far out in front of his favorite receiving target. DiLorenzo unable to haul it in. It's going to be 2nd-and-10 for the Tigers from their own 33. So far, there has been Andrew Gleason has attempted 4 passes on the night. One was a 7-yard completion to Trey Kaufman, kind of a short one. The Trey picked up 7. The other was an interception by Thornton for an INT. All right, and here comes Gleason under center. It's 2nd-and-10 from the 27, actually. And he pitches it out to Kaufman over on that right side. Kaufman's getting pursued out of bounds. He gains about 3 before he is driven out.
Tigers football is brought to you by Desibray Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury, and a drop-off location at Linda's Apparel in Vergennes.
So they are actually at the 31 right now. The scoreboard is a little off, but they fixed it. They are at the 31 here. 17-0, 6:32 left to go in the third quarter. Tigers have time, but they need to make something happen. Gleason under center with his 3 running backs, 1 wide receiver off to the left. Gleason rolling back, looks to that left, and just throws it out. He was pressured. Excellent job there by a player coming up in his face. And he was pressured by Ryder Thornton, and he just kind of threw it out there. It's going to be 4th-and-7 here for the Tigers. Down by 17, they are going to have to punt it away to the Hornets. Nothing going right for the Tigers right now.
Yeah, and you know, they've been containing the pocket so well tonight. I feel like every single game we see Gleason roll out at one point and be able to bust something up off the sidelines, being able to get a pretty solid running game. But it seems every time he's dropped back, there's been guys collapsing from both sides, and he's had very little time to operate.
And it is DiLorenzo waiting for it. It goes high, but he's able to bring it in. Decent punt. This one's a fast punt, but it's going to bound on the 30. Takes an excellent Tigers roll there. It's still going down. It's going to be on the 26-yard line or so of the Hornets. That's where they're going to take over. But right now, with 6:16 left to go in the third quarter, leading 17-0, time, the clock is the Hornets' friend right now. They need to try to eat it. For the Tigers, they need to make this a short drive for the Essex Hornets.
I don't think anyone expected this game to be where it is at right now. We were expecting this to be a pretty close, pretty even matchup coming into it. But really, Essex has looked like the stronger team on all aspects of the game.
For the Tigers right now, this is unquestionably a concerning turn of events. This is the first team the Tigers have faced with a winning record all season long. And we thought it was going to be an important matchup for them. I thought they, you know, Essex was an up-and-coming team, but maybe not quite there. Instead, they are certainly handling the Tigers, although on that first down run, absolutely smothered. That was, I believe it was Tyler Hutt on that tackle for the Tigers.
I think it was actually Pat Messenger.
Pat. All right, very nice. And so it is going to be second and 13 for the Hornets from their own 23-yard line. And here they are set up, the drop back, and this is going to be a carry from the left side to the right side. Carried up by number 5, Tyler Roberge, gaining maybe 2 there. So right now, the time ticking away a little bit on this third quarter, 5:22 left to go, but it is going to be 3rd and 11. Right now, the Tigers, if they can hold them right here, can have a chance to get the ball back and make something happen. And they just plow right up into the middle there, so it's going to be a punt coming up from the Hornets.
Good situation right here, considering Essex really hasn't shown the ability to get any sort of length on their punts tonight. They've all been short or kind of drifting off to the side, so they could potentially get the ball in very strong field position right here.
And the Tigers really need that. They need something positive to happen for them right now. Feel like they could start going a little bit downhill as opposed to going uphill the entire time, just trying to dig out of that hole again and again and again. And it is going to be a kick going down. It is Pominville and Gleason waiting at the 40. And the kick is blocked, and it's going to get recovered. And that was a little screen. That was DiLorenzo on the block?
Yep.
Of course it was. He's been pressuring all season long. Picked up by the Tigers. It's going to be recovered by Essex. However, that doesn't matter. It goes
still
over to the Tigers right there.
Yep.
Absolutely. So
great job
by the Tigers. Great job by DiLorenzo. We've seen him. He's tipped them. He's pressured them. He's done all sorts of things. And so far, that's been one real strong suit of the Tigers all season long. It's been that pressure that Doug DiLorenzo has been able to bring on the punt coverage unit.
You know, and right here, if they can even just pick up 10 yards or so and be able to get themselves in a field goal range, make this a two-score game again, that would be big. They don't need the touchdown just yet. Obviously, you'd prefer it, but any sort of points are big right now.
There's no penalty on that, so there's going to be the Tigers ball, 1st and 10 from the 26 of the Hornets. If there was ever a time, is there ever a time to make something happen? I agree with you about the field goal, absolutely no question. I do think, though, if you get set up in this position and you only come away with a field goal try,
yep,
I still don't think that that's going to make you feel like you're getting the momentum. I agree that from a purely numbers
tactical
standpoint,
yeah,
it makes sense. From an emotional standpoint, though, they really need a touchdown.
And they need something to rally around here. They absolutely need it.
Tigers have one wide receiver, 3 running backs in the double wing, and it's Gleason goes back. He hands it to Kaufman, trying to right side. Nice hole up the middle. Kaufman twisting and spinning and rumbling and stumbling. He gains about 15 yards on that. He's going to be down at the 10-yard line of the Hornets.
Pretty similar to that run we saw Kaufman have in the first half, where he was able to weasel his way out, spinning a little bit, being able to kind of just weasel or wiggle off guys and make that play into a bigger game than it could have been.
That's a great point. It was very reminiscent of that earlier play. And here they're set up here, 1st and 10 from the 10 of the Hornets. It's Gleason under center. He comes back, he hands to Sheldrick, trying to up the middle, and he gets stuffed right at the line of scrimmage. And then at the last second, a flag comes in. We're going to see what that call was, but nothing there. Sheldrick stoned at the line of scrimmage.
Tigers football is brought to you by Denneker Chevrolet, free Vermont state inspections for as long as you own the vehicle. Visit Denneker Chevrolet, RT7 Middlebury, Main Street for Jens, Chevy, find new roads.
And we have a Tiger shaking up a little bit out there. He's standing and coming off. I think that was Sheldrick there on that play as Pearson Beatty comes in to replace him. So the Tigers will get right back on the field here pretty soon. However, it was a penalty against the Tigers. And so they are going to be holding walking back. It's going to be a 10-yard penalty on for holding. So the Tigers are going to be looking at first and 19 on this play.
Certainly not what they needed there.
No, definitely not. We talk about kind of gaining that momentum and making something happen, ending up losing 10 yards. It's certainly not where you want to be here. And the Tigers are trailing 17-0 with 3:50 go in the third quarter. Go ahead, Oz.
And it puts that pressure on Gleason right now to try and make something happen here where they need a pretty big pickup. You hope he doesn't force it too much.
And Gleason goes back. He is going to hand it to Pearson coming from the right to the left. Oh, it looked like he was going to get a hole, but then a linebacker came up and absolutely stuffed him. It was Brendan McCormick coming up and putting some stop on him. Then Jordan Hines cleaning it up. What looked like was going to be a hole really was no gain there for Pearson Beatty. It is going to be second and 19. So for the Tigers, with the clock ticking down, they got 3:12 left to go in the third quarter, trailing 17-0. And Gleason is under center. He has his three running backs. He's got two. He's got a wide receiver and two tight ends. And Gleason rolling to the right side. He's looking downfield. He's going to keep it himself. Just try to test between the guard and the tackle. Gets smothered pretty quickly, however, after a gain of maybe about four. It's still going to be. They're going to need still another 14 yards or so.
Tigers football is brought to you by Brown's Welding. 42 years of residential and commercial. They do steel fabrication plus crane, forklift, and man lift rentals. 802-363-5619 in Bristol.
So we're interested to see what the Tigers do. So it's third and 13. What do they feel like you advocated at one point for going for the kick? And certainly they are in position to try to go for that. Third and 13, I think a lot of people would say that's a prudent decision. Do the Tigers feel like, as they call a timeout, do they feel that they're going to have to score a touchdown here? I think their call on third down is going to tell us a lot about what their thinking is.
I mean, third and long, you really want to force something and maybe come away with no points here. That's just about catastrophe for them, considering they got the ball with such a short field to operate in. Yeah, you got to come away with something. Pick up a decent amount of yards, make this a shorter kick. Obviously, if you have a play downfield, take it, but don't force it.
It'll be interesting to see what they call. Certainly, Dennis Smith and the gang have been in many different situations over the years, and certainly they could stay composed. This team has not been in these kind of situations over recent time. The one game that they lost kind of got away from them. You know, they've been in some close games, you know, the one in St. Albans, but all was that when it was close in their favor, 0-0, something like that. Colchester game stayed close for a while. Right now, trailing 17-0, that's a different mindset.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's not even really close. You're honestly lingering on the edge of this being a blowout, so you got to get something to get your team going.
And here are the Tigers. Gleason under center. He has a wide receiver on the right, a wide receiver on the left, and his three running backs, Pearson, Beatty, in motion from right to left. Gleason goes back. He's going to look to throw it downfield. He's kind of bouncing, looking downfield. He's going to try to find a hole and really gets utterly slowed down. He's going to lose yardage on that play. I'm going to say he lost about 5 yards. Nothing opened up for him downfield. And an Essex player is down right now on the 18-yard line. And we're going to step aside really quickly. We'll be back very quickly. 92.1 WVTK.
Hi, this is Paul at Vermont Field Sports in Middlebury. We carry a full line of compound bows, recurve bows, and crossbows from Parker, Bear Archery, PSE, 10-point, Barnett, and Excalibur. So come on into the shop and take advantage of our superior customer service to tune up your bow and get dialed in for what's shaping up to be a great deer season. Remember, always hunt smart and hunt safe.
If it's Tiger football, it's on WVTK, Port Henry, Ticonderoga, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK.
Well, it's certainly difficult to say, and you never want to say, you know, in the third quarter that there's a just a momentous play, but I have to think this one is. The Tigers right now, 4th and 17 from their own 17-yard line. And this is a pretty momentous play for them for sure. It's going to be Doug DiLorenzo. They need to get something on the board. Doug's going to be kicking it from the 25. It's going to be a 35-yard attempt for the young man. The snap is up. And it is going to be no good. Kick wide for the Tigers. Ball's going to go over to the Essex Hornets. And that was a tough thing to ask in a way of Doug. High school kickers tend to not have a tremendous amount of range. They don't get a ton of practice in that way in game situations.
Doug is one of the better kickers in the league that I've seen so far, at least. But, yeah, that was a tall task to ask from anyone there.
And then, you know, we talked about momentum. We talked about everything else. You and I even debated the difference between 3 points and 7 points.
Yeah.
What we didn't debate was the difference between 3 points and no points.
No points, yep.
And that's a big one here as we get towards the end of the third quarter. 1:33 left to go in the third quarter with the Essex Hornets taking over. They're ahead by a score of 17-0. Let's be fair, though. The Tigers are still within striking distance. They need to make something happen right now. And Essex starts out with Coulter running the ball up the middle, nimbly high-stepping between tacklers' arms. He gains about 6 yards on that first down carry.
Yeah, you know, you can tell that the Tigers really haven't gotten too much pressure on this offense and made them step out of their comfort zone at all. And it's kind of indicative in the fact that they really haven't been forced to take any throws downfield or really try anything tricky. You know, the ball has never been out of someone's hands on a pitch or anything. It's just been a very secure game by Essex to this point.
And it is Croc under center. He goes back. Another dose of Coulter. And he's going to squeeze forward maybe for a couple on that carry. So right now, not gaining a ton, is going to be third and about three here for the Hornets as time is ticking down in the third quarter.
Well, Essex is just happy to take time on every drive right now. Even this, even the three plays they've run so far, they're just eating clock with every play, taking as much time as they possibly can back there in the huddle before coming to the line.
Coulter right now is 113 yards and a touchdown. And Redan is going to go to Coulter again. They're feeding him more and more. He tries that right side. Nice hole on the outside on that right side. Easily picks up a first down. That's a 7-yard gain for Liam Coulter. Last week, Liam Coulter did have 4 touchdowns, but he only had 118 yards. He is right now well past that tonight.
Yeah, he's a great. He's such a strong runner, you know. He gets so much steam coming down the field.
110 yards right now. He hasn't passed it, but he's at, 120 yards right now for Liam Coulter. And a touchdown. And so the Tigers certainly looking a little winded. Defenders are standing there with their hands on their hips, wondering what's going on. It is Otis Croc under center with 2 wide receivers. And he goes back. Coulter again, going back to the sledgehammer. And he gets forward, gains about 3. It's starting to be where they're gaining 3 and 4 on every play, even when it looks like they aren't going to gain much.
Yeah, and that style of play will make this clock disappear a lot faster than you think it would.
And the clock did just disappear. It's the end of the third quarter with the Essex Hornets leading the Middlebury Tigers by a score of 17-0 in Essex Junction. You're listening to Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK, the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Does your car need a repair? Do you need a tow or maybe just general maintenance? I'm Mike McGrath from Mike's Auto. Here at Mike's, we do it all. We tow cars, we fix cars, we sell cars. We have storage and U-Haul. We have master ASC certified techs, and we guarantee all of our work. So if your car or truck vibrates, rattles, whines, knocks, or just plain leaks, give us a call or hit us online at mikesautomid.com. You can even like us on Facebook. And remember, if we can't fix it, it ain't broke.
The A. Johnson Company in Bristol has been a family-owned business since 1906. They supply woodworkers and do-it-yourself remodeling projects with locally and sustainably harvested timber. Visit their retail store and friendly staff on Route 116 in Bristol and see their wide selection of softwood and hardwood lumber, including paneling, flooring, and choose from planed or rough. The A. Johnson Company also sells kiln-dried firewood. Make the A. Johnson Company your one stop for all your lumber needs or call 453-4884. That's 453-4884.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And at the beginning of the fourth quarter here in Essex Junction, Vermont, it's the Middlebury Tigers trailing the Essex Hornets by a score of 17-0. Tigers really have not gotten anything going in this game. When they did get it down to the 10-yard line, they got knocked backwards and then missed a field goal. So certainly the Tigers have been able to get nothing going. And right now they're not going to get a chance to try because Essex still has the ball. It's 2nd and 7 from the Essex 40. And it is Otis Kroc under center. Unspectacular, but solid all night long. Hands it out to Hunter Smith, trying the right side. Smith really isn't going to gain anything. He might lose a yard as the Tigers come up and smother that. Even so, though, runs like that aren't going to bother the Hornets very much right now. They don't mind just eating some clock.
No, it's 40 seconds off the clock every single play. You string a couple of those. They're able to put a drive together here this fourth quarter. By the time they get the ball back, they could have maybe 5-6 minutes to try and get a drive going.
Yeah, in high school football, you can really eat so much clock. As long as you can pick up a first down, you can eat minutes and minutes off of it. And it is Kroc under center. He's got three running backs this time, and he is going to hand it off. Nice gap on that left side. Man, flying forward almost to the first down. That was carried by Tyler Roberge. And he picked up about 9 yards on that run. Ooh, they might. Boy, it's close. Here we go. We can earn our dinner money here. Now it's a little short, I think.
You think so? From this perspective, it looks like he might have got it. They're going to bring the gang out there.
Chain gang out. Always a fun part of our night. See if we can determine exactly what the down and distance is.
They gave him a very friendly spot on it. It really didn't look like he got it. His body fell over the line, but the ball was not. But very friendly spot.
Absolutely. So here comes out the chain gang. They set it down. It is short.
A little short.
It is short. That was a very unprecise chain gang.
Yeah, really? Yeah, the back person was running back to it.
Still moving. Usually it's a little more of a formal setup than that, but
yeah.
We'll be honest, it was in the Tigers' benefits, so
yeah, well,
I can't call home cooking on that one.
They need it.
They do. It is going to be 4th and 1 here for the Essex Hornets on their own 47.
Oh, if that. Maybe even inches here.
Yeah, you know, you kind of wonder whether the coach wants to go for it and kind of step on the throat a little bit.
Yep.
Tigers haven't shown they can move it. Sure enough, there's no punt formation. They're coming up. Coulter has shown the ability to pick up yardage. Big time for the Tigers here on the defensive line. And the quarterback plows forward. I think that one...
Looks like he got it.
Oh, boy. We're going to have another chance
here.
I do agree. But nice job by the Tigers defensive line to stiffen up there. Judging by the side judge on the other side, though.
Yep, they give it to him.
First down. In fact, that was an even better spot than I thought where they were standing on the field. It is going to be first down here for the Essex Hornets. First and 10 from their own 46 on the one-yard run by Otis Kroc.
Yeah, great initial effort by the Tigers there. You know, they were able to meet him in the backfield, but he was just able to roll off it and fall forward.
And it's Kroc under center. He's got his two wide receivers. And he goes back. It's Coulter again trying the middle. No real gain there as he gets wrapped up by a defensive lineman. And that lineman was number 72, Pat Messenger, making that tackle for the Tigers. It is going to be 2nd and 9.
Tigers football is brought to you by Broughton's Big Country Hardware, home of Broughton's Farm Supply, Route 22A in Bridport, bigcountryhardware.com.
And Coulter now up to 124 on the night for the Hornets. Tigers need to make something happen. It is going to be second and nine here. And it is Kroc under center. He's got someone moving from left to right, but it's Coulter up the middle. Big gashing hole. One thing you really notice about Coulter, too, the holes are being opened by the Essex offensive line, but then he's shedding linebackers when he gets into the second level.
Well, there's clearly a weakness to this Middlebury team, and it's stopping big, strong backs. You know, they really don't have the personnel to deal with it once they get past the line. There's no one in that secondary or those linebackers that can make that play one-on-one. It seems like very frequently need a gang of guys to bring down guys like that. We saw it against Chiquita, and we're seeing it against Coulter tonight.
Yeah, and Coulter's looking a lot. I mean, he hasn't had that strong power out the back end except for that one run, but he's certainly doing nice. Oh, big trip up there by a Tiger, though. Pat Messenger again on the run by Hunter Smith, and really no gain there on that run.
And Pat Messenger is one of the few guys tonight who's actually having a pretty solid game. Frequently been seeing him make a lot of big tackles for them.
Yeah, doing a nice job there, but it's just so hard. I mean, dangerously, you know, you'll make a nice play, and then they'll gash you for a few. However, that was good for the Tigers. It's 4th and 3 for the Hornets. They are going to punt it away. Tigers are trailing 17-0, but there's only 8.5 minutes left on the scoreboard.
Could certainly use some help from the special teams.
And it bounces off the ground. Nice job by the punter to pick it up, though. And he throws it down. It's going to bounce. It's going to be taken by the Tigers at the 14. That's where it's going to be down. Tigers have a chance to do something. They need to do something on this drive with 8.5 minutes left to go on their own 14-yard line.
Yeah, no time to waste here. They really got to get something going. I think it's finally time to put it in the air a little bit and put some trust in Gleason. And hopefully he can get some confidence so going forward in future games, he has the confidence to make these throws.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know.
He has the ability. He certainly does.
He has the ability. I think there needs to be, you know, plays where he has multiple. He needs to go through a little bit of a progression. There's a little bit of a tendency to kind of zero in, especially on DiLorenzo.
Yes.
Needs to be an option. He has maybe multiple people coming across on crosses. It's Gleason under center. He's handing it off up the middle to Carpenter. Gaining maybe 3 or so on that run. Really nothing spectacular on that play.
Tigers football is brought to you by Mike's Auto and Towing for all your car care needs and more. See them online at Mike's Auto, MIDD.com. That's Mike's Auto, MIDD.com.
Tigers with a 2nd and 7 from their own 16 or 17, we'll call it, yard line. And so now there are 2 wide receivers out there for the Tigers, actually. And we're 3 wide receivers. Gleason going back, fakes it once, pumps it, throws it long. He's got Beatty wide open at the 40, cuts inside. Nice little move there. Gets up to the 47. And that was a 30-yard gain from the Tigers, from Gleason to Beatty.
Quite possibly the biggest play we've seen out of this Middlebury offense tonight.
Absolutely. And so they are going to set up 1st and 10 from the 47. A chance to go along and make something happen. Gleason under center. He's dropping back. He's looking over towards the other side. It's Pominville over on that left side. Some shifty moves by Cody. He's able to gain 8. Right now, they tell you, a lot of people flying around as though
the ball
was out.
Looks like the ball might have been on the ground.
But the officials don't seem excited by it, neither do the players. So must just been the end of that. Nice gain there by Cody. Andrew threw it out flat to that left side, and Cody making some people miss there.
Yeah, and you like to see Gleason throwing to other guys other than DiLorenzo. You know, at this level of football, the coverage isn't that developed that they can cover everyone downfield. So if you have a quarterback that can identify everything down there, you're going to find an open guy almost every time.
Gleason's looking for DiLorenzo downfield, very much overthrows him. However, as he's coming across, he gets hit by the defensive back. DiLorenzo sells it, absolutely. Doug's about twice the size of the other guy.
Yep.
But, hey, you get hit. Doug wisely sells it. And let's see if they call it or they pick it up. They did call it. So that's going to be a 15-yard mark off for pass interference against the Essex Hornets. So right now the Tigers need this right now. They're making something happen on this drive with a little help of the Essex Hornets.
Sad the pass interference isn't put at the spot of the foul, you know. If they were to get that, they would be in a much better position to do something. Obviously, you can't complain about a 15-yard pickup, though.
No, you can't. And we talked about it. It hurts you less here than it does when it's a really, really long play. Sometimes it feels like the defensive back knows they should just sell out and kind of whack the person because you know it beats getting a completion. That one never would have been completed. In the NFL, for example, they wouldn't have actually called that because they would have said it was unable to be caught.
Yes.
So a little bit of a difference there on that one. All right, Gleason under center. He's got 4 wide receivers. Actually, he has Kaufman moving from the left to the right. Gleason drops back. He's going to keep it. He's rolling back. He's got pressure all over him. He tosses it out. This is to DiLorenzo for not much gain, though. He's going to get dropped back. A hanky's in the air. Let's see what the call was on that first down play. I would say Doug got a 2-yard gain or so on that completion.
But here we're seeing Gleason making a lot of great throws. You know, he's stringing together a pretty good drive so far.
He is, and he had a lot of pressure on him in that one.
Yes, he did.
I think it was an eligible receiver downfield, if I'm correct, against the Tigers. So just when things are going well, it's two steps forward, at least one step back.
Tigers football is brought to you by the Johnson A. Lumber Company of Bristol, sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified.
So for the Tigers, that play is not going to count. They're going to mark it off against them. It's going to be 15. From the 36-yard line of the Hornets. So they're going to need to make something happen here. Tigers are. They've been able to on this drive, but time's still ticking away. They've used up 2 minutes so far on this drive. When you're down by 17, that's not something you could do. 6.5 minutes left to go.
Yeah, and they've expended a timeout as well.
Gleason under center, one wide receiver, three running backs, baiting motion from the right to the left. And this time it's Gleason. He fakes the handoff. He's rolling back. He's looking downfield. He has a man open in the middle of the field. It is DiLorenzo. He's going to get about half the distance he needs to the first down sticks. He's going to get to about the 26. Actually, we'll give him a gain of 10 on that reception from Gleason. That was a classic play to the tight end right in the middle of the field there.
God, you know, you wish they had the confidence to be making these throws all game. Clearly, this Essex defense cannot handle it right now.
It's a great point. Gleason rolls back again. He is getting pressured, but he flips it out there.
Oof.
Close in front of Kaufman. Nothing doing there. It's going to be second down for these Tigers. It's going to be third down for these Tigers. Third and five.
Tigers football is brought to you by McIntyre Services of Middlebury and Court Street and Exchange Street in Middlebury, keeping friends warm for over 70 years.
You know, it does seem as though they've been able to attack it. One does have to wonder how much Essex is just kind of keeping everything in front of them, not being too crazy. Let the line just go with, really, they have three down linemen to try to generate pressure with three out. They bring a fourth right now. We'll see what happens here. Gleason drops back. He looks quickly to the right side to Doug.
Oof.
Overthrows Doug. I hope they think that was a forward pass. I guess they do. It is going to be fourth down and five for the Tigers. This right here, if there's any hope, the Tigers have to convert this play.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. They're going to make something happen here. Turning the ball over at this point in the game would just about be a death sentence.
Yeah, because there is 5.5 minutes. And somebody say you can make a lot happen in 5.5 minutes. It's 17 to nothing. You have not scored. The one time you were able to get in close, you were unable to make anything happen. You've had three turnovers. Really, they've done
actually
a good job.
They had a couple times they were close. You know, at the start of the game and the 90-yard fumble, they were right there.
Yeah, that's a great point. You're
absolutely
right.
Could have been a much different game if that didn't happen.
That's right. Gleason drops back. He flips it over the middle. Doug catches it again. Picks up a first down. That was a nifty one. 10-yard connection between the quarterback and his favorite receiver, Doug DiLorenzo.
Yeah, that pass made my heart skip a beat there. You know, it was like a little floating line drive.
It was an interesting delivery.
Yeah. It was really slow getting there, but it worked.
It did. Gleason under center. It is first and 10 from the 15 of the Hornets. Gleason's going back. He's going to keep it himself. It flicks it out there again. High to Doug. It flipped through Doug's hands, and it fell to the earth. Not harmlessly, though. It almost got picked up by an Essex defender.
Yeah.
Doug's tall. He's about 6'3", but that was about as high as he could possibly go up and get it with all that equipment and a helmet on. So here we go for the Tigers. It is going to be second and 10 from the 15. 5:22 left to go in the fourth quarter. Hornets are ahead 17 to nothing against the Middlebury Tigers. Gleason's under center. He's coming back. He's handing it off to Pearson Beatty, who's testing that left side and gets stoned at the line of scrimmage. It is going to be third and 10 for the Tigers. No gain on that run by Pearson Beatty.
Well, we've been seeing a lot of Pearson Beatty, though, tonight. We've been seeing him on a couple good plays.
Yeah, they've given him some chances. Gleason under center. He's got Kaufman coming from left to the right. Gleason's going back. He's looking downfield. He's going to throw it out to Kaufman in the flat. If Kaufman can make a move, he does. Nice juke there. Gets up to about the 8-yard line where he's driven out. Tigers are going to have one last chance to gain the next 3 yards. It's going to be fourth and three. Right now in this quarter, the Tigers have gained 60 yards in passing in this quarter. Previously, they had 7. And Andrew Gleason coming up to the line. He has 2 wide receivers. No, he has 1 wide receiver as Trey comes in to get in the standard double wing set. Pearson Beatty comes from right to left. Gleason's going to roll out looking downfield. He doesn't have many receivers going that side. And Gleason throws it away. Let's see what they're not going to call anything on that. It is going to be a turnover for the Tigers. Really interesting call. Gleason rolled left. All of his receivers were going right. There was no one emerging across the back of the end zone from that right to left position, whether somebody got caught up, whether they were just slow getting over there. He got absolutely flushed out. He ended up throwing it for an incomplete pass, but it is Essex ball with 4:32 left to go in the game. Ahead by 17 points, one expects that you are going to have a heavy dose of Liam Coulter.
Yeah, you know, you can't say for sure what happened there, what went wrong in that series, but we've seen a lot of things tonight go wrong for them. Miscommunications, which that's not something we typically see from this team. A lot of plays where Gleason is looking confused back there.
I think the tougher thing, you know, the Tigers lost to Brattleboro, and I think you could say, boy, check Chiquite. You don't necessarily see people like that walk into your field all the time, but in this game, as well, maybe you don't see people like Liam Coulter walk into your field all the time either. 6 yard gain right up the middle. You had to know that that was coming from Coulter.
Yeah.
And yet he picks up 6 yards on that first down run.
Yeah, Coulter's having a good game, but they've done it with a variety of guys. Let's not rule out Hines, who's had a really strong game. He's had some huge runs back there. Not a lot of Otis tonight for them, but
Haven't needed. I mean, the one thing about Otis Crock is that he's really just had to manage the game, and that's really all you need from him right now. As they go up the middle with Coulter again, there's really going to be no gain on that run, but there is going to be time ticking away. 3:53 left to go in the game with the Hornets leading 17-0. Tigers are going to have to take a timeout. Right now it is 137 yards on the ground for Liam Coulter. Twenty-one attempts for the young man. Lots of rushing attempts for the Essex Hornets. They have not attempted a pass all night long.
Nope, haven't needed to.
Haven't needed to at all. You know, this has really been, we talked about how this looked like a Middlebury game. This is the kind of game Middlebury plays that we're used to seeing BFA St. Albans play, the way the Hartford Hurricanes often play. Essex, you know, credit to their coaches. Year to year, they're definitely willing to kind of try different styles and do different things. And clearly they've decided with this team that using the double wing, pretty much, actually not a double wing, really two running back set, really with no, it's not really an eye. It's not an eye at all. They kind of just put two people back next to each other. And they go to one or the other as the person goes forward. It's really worked for them. And I think when you have the power of Liam Coulter to be able to do that and then bring those other guys from that other position, it's really working for them right now.
They're just trying to eat as much clock as they can here. Oh, no, wait, it stopped.
Yeah, it stopped, though. The Tigers had taken a timeout there. So here they got one more left. 3:51. It is 3rd and 3 for the Hornets from their own 15. And this is going to be on the right side for Hines. Hines plowing forward. Hines, I believe they're going to say Hines got it. Yes, he did. That was a huge play there for Essex in terms of letting that clock still go. Enough for a first down for the Hornets.
A lot of frustration on that Middlebury sideline right now.
Well, yeah, I didn't quite get to finish my point from before. You know, with Chiquite, you say, boy, check Chiquite. You heard the name. You knew what happened. He pounded the Tigers last year. But as you pointed out, the story between Essex and the Tigers last year was quite a bit different.
Yes, yes. We'll get into that there in the post game. But, yeah, they thrashed them last year, you know, coming into this game. I think they thought this was going to be a much better matchup than it turned out to be.
And right now it's going forward with Coulter again. Not Coulter, actually. We have a new player touching the ball, as you'd like to happen in these fights. Michael Ashley, the junior fullback, getting a run in for the Essex Hornets. It is going to be 2nd and 11. That was a loss of 1 for the junior fullback. However, time is ticking. 3 minutes left to go. Tigers trailing 17-0. And they look over the sideline. As you say, there is absolutely no interest on their part to do anything but take their time. And it is a lot of center center. He turns and hands it back. This time it's Coulter testing that right side. Coulter pushing forward. He's not one to say the game's over. Everybody on the field is trying to push each other one way or the other. And that was a gain of 7 on that run for Liam Coulter. It is going to be 3rd and 3 for the Essex Hornets.
Got an explosion of smoke down there. Looks like some of the students are throwing a powder.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, LeBron James celebration.
I was just going to say.
Who's letting these basketball players announce a football game? All right. Well, all right, Tigers, 2:22 for 17-0. Right now, really, not even many adjustments to make. I think you're probably living to just finish out this game and figure out how to make adjustments. 2 weeks left to go in the regular season. having come in tonight really looking as a litmus test of what you're going to be as a team. Certainly can't feel good about a 17-0 score at the moment, but that's why you have 2 weeks. That's why you have time to work on it. Certainly looking against that tough CVU game in 2 weeks, you need to look at Rice as a get-right game next week for the Tigers.
Well, you hope they can get right. You know, every team they played so far, they've had stretches where they just look cold during, and, you know, even a team like Rice, they could potentially lose to. There was no offensive flow for them, whatever. And a lot of the errors weren't even forced by Essex. A lot of them were just self-made errors.
Absolutely. Really nothing particularly going for the Tigers here. They did end up getting some first downs. As Austin Danforth had pointed out at halftime, the Tigers had only gotten one first down in the first half. They did manage to get some in the fourth quarter, but really when they were playing catch-up and where Essex had kind of slacked off on the defense a little bit. So a lot to figure out for these Tigers, but still 2 minutes and 22 seconds before they could start doing that processing. They're coming up to the line of scrimmages. Essex, it's going to be 3rd and 9 from their own 21. And it is Otis Kroc under center with two running backs. Kroc goes back. Why not hand it to Coulter once again? He's bouncing up the middle. He's only going to gain about 3 on that carry, but he's not worried about that. It's going to be 4th and 6. One will expect them to punt it away to the Tigers, but time's still ticking up on that clock.
Tigers football is brought to you by Brown's Welding, 42 years of residential, commercial, and they do steel fabrication plus crane, forklift, and men lift rentals. 802-363-5619 in Bristol.
Tigers have certainly decided to concede this one. They are not using a timeout. And it is the punting formation for Essex, taking their time. They're going to be punting away from the 10. You have Palmerville and Gleason waiting for it at the 45. Palmerville's going to call for the fair catch, is able to get it. Tigers are going to have the ball at the 49. You have to wonder what they're going to do with it with 1:33 left to go in the game and clearly no belief or intention. Why would they reasonably at this point that they are going to win this game since they didn't call a timeout on that play? What do you decide to do right here? Maybe just stuff Spencer Carpenter up into the line, I would expect.
Yeah, you know, I'd say still take a couple stabs at the end zone and let Gleason throw this ball around a little bit. It doesn't look like the formation they're coming out with and they're going to do that, though.
Well, maybe they will. Gleason goes back, he pumps it down, he throws it up to DiLorenzo. Oh. It's high. He almost to Kaufman, and he gets intercepted. That's no way, certainly, to end the game on an emotional standpoint. That was a pick made by number 30, Michael Ashley. So, for Gleason, certainly not a happy night. That was 2 interceptions and a fumble by the young man. And it goes over. Actually, 2 interceptions and... Yes, 2 interceptions and a fumble. And not certainly the way he wanted to end his night as Ashley comes up and makes the interception.
Yep.
Actually, I think we're going to have to say all 4 turnovers were, I think, was the pitch out from Sheldrick to Sheldrick from Gleason. Then there was 1 on that bad exchange with Carpenter, and then the 2 interceptions. So 4 turnovers by the Tigers, mirroring the loss to the Brattleboro Colonels. Victory formation here for the Essex Hornets. 1:24, 1:23, time ticking down. Essex is going to be content to tick it down as they are leading by a score of 17-0. Tigers looks like they're going to get the shutout for the first time in a very, very long time. I wish I had that statistic, but certainly we know the Tigers had not lost a home game since 2012. One isn't sure how long before that it's been since they've been shut out in terms of regular season, or sorry, not a home game, a regular season game, but the Tigers will get shut out tonight by the Essex Hornets. A lot to think about here if you're the Middlebury Tigers.
Yeah, not going to be a fun drive home.
And it's ticking down here for the Hornets. Certainly the players of the game for the Hornets, I think if we point out, there is no question. You pointed it out. I think really 2 people stood out for the Hornets. Jordan Hines, 90-yard fumble return, I think really set the tone for the game
off
that bat. And Tigers were going uphill over there. And then certainly one has to point at Liam Coulter, 147 yards rushing. Only 1 touchdown on the night. But following up is a 118-yard game and 4 touchdowns. Next week when Essex takes on Brattleboro, that'll be a really fantastic game in Brattleboro. You'll get a sense of where Essex is, where Brattleboro is. Essex certainly seems like the more consistent team right now.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. And that's it. That's the end of the game. The Middlebury Tigers have lost to the Essex Hornets by a score of 17-0. Please stick around for the postgame show. We're going to talk to our JP Carrera player of the game, talk about everything that happened, and talk about the road forward. You're listening to 92.1 WVTK Port Henry, the One Credit Union Radio Network.
This fall, think of the Shelburne Museum Store when looking for handmade products, jewelry, or special gifts for the ones you love. Open every day, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. National Bank of Middlebury is there for you 24/7. Buying a home, sending your kids to college, or starting a new business? They're here to make it happen, helping families and businesses achieve their dreams since 1831. With offices in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Virgins, or online at nbmvt.com, or on your mobile phone, anytime, anywhere. Bank real, live real. National Bank of Middlebury. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Equal opportunity employer.
When looking for childcare, call Natus Play School South. They're now accepting 6 weeks to 5 years old. It's a great feeling when you have confidence in your childcare. Call 539-2107 or natusplayschool.com for enrollment. Conveniently located on Route 7 in North Ferrisburg.
McIntyre Services in Middlebury has been serving Addison County residents for over 70 years, and the season is changing, and it's time now to think about heating oil. McIntyre Services has the fuel to keep you warm and burner service to keep that furnace running efficiently all winter long. McIntyre Services is also your local Sunoco dealer, and you can save big with the Sunoco Rewards Card. How does 5 cents off every single gallon at the pump sound? Start saving money now at their two locations, Exchange Street, Middlebury, and on Court Street, Middlebury. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for over 70 years.
There are many banks to choose from. There's just one which truly puts personal service first and foremost. That's One Credit Union in Virgins. The people at One Credit Union specialize in making your banking an easy and positive experience. Add in their very competitive lending rates, low fee banking services, and the many electronic banking options with 24/7 access to your accounts, you'll see why One Credit Union is gaining new customers every day. One Credit Union, Green Street, Virgins. You'll like to doing business with them. One Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA.
For just what you need to get your weekend project done right, shop Martin's True Value Hardware and Radio Shack.
Well, these leaves aren't going to rake themselves. I better get to it.
Hey, Martin, it looks good. I'm going to get the leaf blower and help.
Oh, no, Kathleen, that's fine. I've got it.
No, really, Martin, I know you like to do things for yourself, but let me help.
Wait.
Oops, how did that happen?
Probably when you spun around in a circle. Seriously, I'm covered in leaves. It looks like I did nothing out here.
Well, if you use the leaf blower, you'll get it back into one pile in no time.
Ah, give that to me.
Martin, you have some leaves in your hair.
Come get all your fall needs from Martin's Hardware. Weather stripping to tighten your house up for the winter, rakes, and let's not forget the leaf blowers.
Or you could just ask Martin to come and rake. Martin's True Value Hardware and Radio Shack on West Street in Bristol and on Route 7 in Middlebury.
Behind every project is a true value.
This is Middlebury Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
You're listening to 92.1 WVTK. I'm Alex Inescu. My co-host, Bjarke Sears, is out there trying to find us a player of the game right now after this demoralizing loss for Middlebury, 17-0. Early on, Essex messed up the punt on their first drive of the game and actually gave Middlebury the ball inside the 30-yard line. They were able to get a couple plays together when Sheldrick fumbled the ball on the 10-yard line and Jordan Hines busted off a 90-yard run the other way for a touchdown, making it 7-0. Fast forward to the second quarter, Anthony Pope was able to get a field goal to make it 10-0 with 70-40 in the second. A few failed drives by both teams left it at that at halftime. Fast forward to the third quarter, Essex first drive of the second half, Liam Coulter had a 59-yard run to make it 17-0. That was at the 6:50 mark. No more scores from there on out. Middlebury did have a good drive towards the end when Gleason was able to string together a series of passes, but to no effect in the end zone. That was your final score, 17-0. When we come back, we'll have our player of the game. You're listening to 92.1 WVTK.
Desiree Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. Our dry cleaning department is open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 to 3 on Saturday for all your dry cleaning needs. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk grade dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available, as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Use our drop-off locations at Linda's Apparel in Vergence and the Enchanted Closet in Bristol. Desabray on Exchange Street in Middlebury.
Brown's Lift Rental and Crane Service. In business for over 40 years, Brown's has four cranes, 14 to 70-ton capacity with OSHA-certified operators and riggers. 40, 60, and 80-foot man lifts. Telehandler lifts 6 to 10,000-pound capacity with or without operator. Two new mini excavators, 6 and 12,000 pounds, have been added to the fleet.
Give my Papa Craigie and his breakthrough a call. Brown's Lift Rental and Crane Service.
453-3351. That's 453-3351.
Hockey season is upon us, and 4th and Goal has everything you need. Hockey gloves, shin pads, shoulder pads, pants, elbow pads, and helmets by Bauer and CCM. Hockey skates and figure skates, too. They are stocked and ready to fit the Addison County skaters. Men and women, boys and girls from head to toe. 4th and Goal, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. Everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond. 4th and Goal Sports.
When making home improvements, consider your options carefully.
Excuse me? Hello? I'm looking for bathroom tile.
Hi.
Oh, finally. I'm looking for bathroom tile?
Well, you're in the plumbing department, so...
So you can't help me?
No.
Countryside Carpet and Paint is your hometown experts in paint, flooring, tile, and hardwood. Their advice is genuine, and they truly care about how your project comes together. Countryside Carpet and Paint in Middlebury.
Decorate the countryside away.
Now back to Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And welcome back to the postgame show on 92.1 WVTK. You're listening to, you just heard, the Middlebury Tigers lose to the Essex Hornets by a score of 17 to nothing. A hard-fought game, a tough fighting game, and certainly in every game that could be tough, there's always going to be bright spots. And one of our bright spots today, along with all of his mates on the defensive line working so hard out there, but certainly a bright spot, was our JP Carrera player of the game, Maverick Paynes. Maverick, first of all, welcome.
Thank you.
And so, Maverick, you know, a tough game, and by my numbers here, you faced 50 runs, and that's an estimate. I probably missed a few in there, but at least, you know, 50 runs that you guys had to take on, and that's a tough spot for defense. You're put in position, you know, turnovers, different things like that. You guys sometimes run the field pretty quickly. How do you keep yourself going out there all game long? You're like an Energizer bunny out there, just kept playing and playing.
Gotta think game ain't over till clock says zero.
Yep, so you just keep going out there and playing hard. And for a long time it wasn't. I mean, it never really totally got out of reach.
Right.
But just never seemed like you could quite get over that hill. And I know without too many details, but what are the kind of things the coaches are telling you when you're in that kind of tough, kind of grinded out game?
Just says keep going and keep going, you know, fight till it's over.
Yeah,
you never know what can happen.
You never know, and it really was a Middlebury Tigers sort of game.
Right.
You know, it was the kind of game, it was all in the trenches with you guys doing work, and if you guys at home could see him, the man is filthy and wet and dirty and slimy, and that's the way we expect a Tiger football player to be at the end of the day. And certainly a tough one. So week six, you've had a successful season, certainly, but not the result on the scoreboard you like. What do you think the kind of focus is going to be going forward here these next couple of games, just in a big sense? What do you think you guys need to focus on?
I think we need to focus on not turning the ball over.
Yep.
I don't know, kind of just keep making blocks and holding them.
Yep.
On offense.
And, you know, it's when you have so many runs that you're going up against, you know, on the defensive side too, you know, you do great. You guys are great. There's a lot of times you were able to see my stat. 2 yards, 1 yard, negative one. You know, a lot of plays where you were holding them to no gain or even taking them away. But every once in a while, there's that big play that kind of goes against you. What adjustments can you make as a defense to try to work against those big gains, you think? Just kind of really just finishing off tackles?
Yeah, I don't know. Kind of make your reads and Hope they work.
Hoping they're being in the right spot. Right. Kinda. And you're not going to stop every play, that's for sure. But
right.
But you guys did, again, I mean, you know, 50. And again, they did have a lot of plays, not a lot of yards per play for the Tigers. So a couple weeks left. Next weekend against Rice. Rice, the team, you're coming in. They were 1-4 coming into tonight. So when you play against a team like a Rice or a South Burlington, you know, a team that maybe isn't so strong on paper, what can you do next week to get yourselves right, to get yourselves back to where you want to be?
Just focus on the corrections we need to make, and it's kind of a practice game, but you can't expect just to win. Still got to go hard.
Sure, and kind of do those things that you know you need to do right. Let's give you a couple names, a couple other people out there on the field tonight who could maybe be up here, a couple people you thought really put in a good game out there.
Say Patrick Messenger, definitely. Tyler Hott. Spencer Carpenter.
Absolutely. Those guys are all doing a great job. You know, we've really noticed Patrick, you called his name a few times tonight. It seems like Tyler, it seems like every week, you know, he's getting in there and getting dirty. So certainly a great season for him and in a lot of ways. And then certainly, you know, working hard for you and everybody else. So, you know, not the way you wanted to be up here, certainly, but hopefully good to be recognized for that hard work you're putting in. You know, it was a consultation with the coaches about who should be come up here and your name we kind of came to. And I thought that was great to have that combination. Maybe a recognition of kind of what the coaches think of your hard work so far this year. So thank you very much. Just so you know, you can only be the J.P. Carrera player of the game once, so this is your time up here, but it's great to have you. And heal up, and we'll see you next week out on the pitch, okay? All right. And that was Maverick Payne, J.P. Carrera player of the game for week 6. And we'll be right back with the rest of the postgame show with Alex Inescu, Bjarke Sears. It's 92.1 WVTK, the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Is your car in need of repair? Do you need a tow or maybe just general maintenance? I'm Mike McGrath from Mike's Auto. Here at Mike's, we do it all. We tow cars, we fix cars, we sell cars. We have storage and U-Haul. We have master ASC certified techs, and we guarantee all of our work. So if your car or truck vibrates, rattles, whines, knocks, or just plain leaks, give us a call or hit us online at mikesautomid.com. You can even like us on Facebook. And remember, if we can't fix it, it ain't broke.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera & Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
This is Middlebury Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And we're back on the post-game show of Week 6. Middlebury Tigers just lost to the Essex Hornets by a score of 17-0. Essex looking to end up the season in a pretty positive way. They're going to move to 4-2 on the season. They're going to have a big game against Brattleboro next week. I think that Liam Coulter-Chekchikite matchup looms pretty good in an interesting way. And then certainly the way they stop the Tigers' run tonight may give them a good chance against Chekchikite. It'll be interesting to see what Brattleboro does against them. Then at South Burlington, South Burlington's going to be pretty much in the hole at that point. So I have to figure Essex is going to end up with a pretty good record. For the Tigers, moving to 4-2, dropping to 4-2, losing to the only team with a winning record they have played to date. Next weekend against Rice, that you hope is going to be a get-right game. But then it's not necessarily the way you need to go into CVU. That Week 8 game against CVU at home in Middlebury, that's going to be a big game certainly for everyone involved.
Yeah, I think this game really painted a picture about where Middlebury is at this point in the season. You know, we hadn't seen them play anyone quality, as you've said. And tonight, you know, this was a game for them to kind of make a statement, show where they're at, that they can perform with kind of the elite teams in, among this division. And they came out and they couldn't do anything. They looked discombobulated the whole game. The offense looked poor. The defense couldn't stop the run. So it really raises a lot of questions going forward and how they're going to deal with a team like Champlain Valley Union that beat this Essex team by a pretty sizable score. So, yeah, you're not confident about the direction of where this team is going right now.
Not really. I mean, the coaches, you know, I know the coaches are, you know, no one could ever question the success of these coaches. And, you know, I think because of that over the last few years, these are very experienced coaches. They've done it for a long time. I'm not sure recently that they've been in this kind of position, a position where it probably seems like the adjustments they make aren't necessarily turning into something on the field quite the way they would want. And they'll keep plugging at it. These are resolute men. These are men with a lot of different ideas and a lot of knowledge about football. Dennis Smith has forgotten more about football, certainly eight times more than I will ever know, and so has his assistants as well. So you know that they're going to have a lot of different things up their sleeve to try to work on. But I think the simple thing is you have to eliminate the turnovers. I mean, in both games, you're talking 9 turnovers in the 2 losses they have. And there is no team, or very few teams, that can overcome that kind of damage. If those teams are, they're explosive teams that can then the next time get the ball, they make it up. This Tiger team is not showing, except for the occasional pass from Gleason to DiLorenzo. So far this season, they haven't shown themselves to be an explosive unit on offense.
No, not at all. Really, in every game they played, they've had significant droughts, even against teams like Mount Anthony. For the greater part of that first half, they were struggling to put up points. And you wonder, how can you fix something like that? Is it a personnel issue? Is it something they're not doing right? I really point the finger at the confidence of them on offense. And, you know, for most of this game, they were scared to throw the football. Genuinely scared to let Gleason put it in the air. And we saw on that drive coming down, I don't think entirely that defense wasn't giving a full effort on that. I think they were genuinely trying to stop that and not maybe playing a little safe on it. But they showed that Gleason can throw that ball around. And when they trust him with that, maybe they can create a little something. And, you know, getting some passes going downfield, that's going to open up your run game. For we have a lot of strong backs on this team, but none of them are guys that are going to bust it off. We don't see our backs breaking through, taking it all the way to the house. They're not those kind of guys. They're guys like Spencer Carpenter that can get you 8 yards, that can get you a 12-yard game, that can break a tackle or two. So you don't have guys that can just take over like that. So you need to do other things to open up that room for them.
And, you know, it's interesting you mentioned. I absolutely agree with everything you say. And just interesting to point out, Spencer Carpenter, last 3 weeks player of the game and vital to this Tiger offense, he only carried the ball 7 times today. He only carried it once in the second quarter, once in the third quarter, once in the fourth quarter. Kind of surprising, certainly surprising to see them go away from him, considering he was being fairly productive in the second quarter. The one run he had was a 6-yard run. It's not like he was just getting stuffed. So, you know, I think of the Tigers, you got to keep pushing that, and they were not
totally agree.
They were not way behind, you know, at many points. They were down, you know, 10 points. 10 points really isn't much. Keep pounding that rock, and they did get away from that with Carpenter. Really, there are very few runs in general, partially because, you know, Essex was able to hold on to it, but also the Tigers, you know, and just never really got it going.
Yeah, you know, I'm not one to question what Dennis Smith does, but I think that when something goes wrong, when something doesn't happen their way, instead of sticking to it and being confident in themselves, they stripe it from the playbook. It's totally taken off. They don't go to it anymore. Spencer Carpenter was not getting anything going in that first quarter. They cut him out for this game. You know, someone who had been so reliable for them all season, they refused to go to. You know, Gleason had a bad throw, strip the throws from the playbook. And then you're looking at a team that's making themselves one-dimensional when they really aren't that. This is a team that can score in a lot of different ways when they have the confidence to do so.
Well, they're going to have to figure it out next week, and they're going to have 2 weeks to do it. It's going to be Rice next week. It's going to be CVU the week after that. A lot to happen. Rare to be at this point in the season if the Tigers still figuring out who they are. Probably more confused about their identity than they've been in a long, long time after tonight's 17-0. Really rout, I would have to say, at the hands of the Essex Hornets. So it may not look it in the scorebook in the end, but the Tigers really out of it really for most of the game. But do join us next Friday, because next Friday they're going to have the chance to get it back together. They're going to be playing at home against Rice, a chance to make something happen, headed towards the playoffs. It's going to be exciting, late October football. Please join us. The game's going to be at 7. We're going to go on the air at 6:30 here on 92.1 WVTK, and we're excited to bring you all of the late season action. We will be in the playoffs, and we will be headed there, and we're going to be looking to get everything righted and make something good happen. For Alex and SQ, for Jim Tye back on the board, for Bjarke Sears, that's me, we thank you all for joining us on 92.1 WVTK, and we look forward to talking to you next week. It's been Tiger Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
You've been listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK. Tiger Football all season long on WVTK is brought to you in part by One Credit Union. Today, tomorrow, together. 1CU.org, 7 Green Street in Virgins. Mike's Auto and Towing. If we can't fix it, it ain't broke.
See them online at mikesautomid.com. That's mikesautomid.com. Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 in Middlebury. Mike's Fuels, for all your home, business, and agricultural needs, Route 22A in Bridgeport. Vermont Field Sports, don't let that big one get away. We'll help you hook them or bag them, Route 7 in Middlebury. The A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified. Monument Farms of Weybridge, join the movement and support local farms. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, on Court Street and Exchange Street in Middlebury, keeping friends warm for over 70 years. Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, your True Value hardware store. The National Bank of Middlebury, with locations in Middlebury, Virgins, Brandon, Bristol, and Hinesburg, online at mbmvt.com. LaBerge Insurance Agency, Washington Street in Middlebury. LaBerge equals insurance. Broughton's Big Country Hardware, home of Broughton's Farm Supply, Route 22A in Bridgeport, bigcountryhardware.com. Della Motorsports in Plattsburgh, your motorsports headquarters. Nadu's Play School South, promoting lifelong learning in a safe and caring environment, Route 7 in Ferrisburg. Countryside Carpet and Paint in Middlebury, your one-stop shop for flooring, paint, and window treatments. Stop in today and decorate the countryside way. Desabre's Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury, and with a drop-off location at Linda's Apparel in Virgins. Denneker Chevrolet, free Vermont State inspections for as long as you own your vehicle. Main Street Virgins and Route 7 Middlebury. Chevy, find new roads. Brown's Welding, steel fabrication, plus crane, forklift, and man lift rentals. Call 363-5619 or visit brownswelding.com. Autumn Gold Jewelry, they have the Earth's most beautiful gifts. Main Street in Middlebury. And J.P. Carrera and Sons Concrete, always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363.
For a complete schedule of sports heard on 92.1 WBTK and more information, visit 921WBTK.com. Thanks for listening. This has been a local sports production on Addison County's 92.1 WBTK.